All right, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our Monday night call. Today is Monday, April 21st, 2014. Oh, we have a lot of things to talk about tonight, so we'll get started. We have moved into the Q&A, so anybody who's going to want to ask a question or a comment, they could start pressing #6 and #1, and you'll be brought up into the queue according to how you... click in there. We're going to start tonight. I'd like to read a couple of Bible verses and a quote from one of our founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson. Proverbs 1, verses 1 through 7. And I also would like to read right after that Ecclesiastes 12, 13 through 14, and then a quote by Thomas Jefferson. We read in Proverbs 1, the proverb of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instructions of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instructions. Ecclesiastes 12. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Thomas Jefferson understood this, and he said, God, who gave us life, gave us liberty. Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed a conviction from these liberties, that these liberties are a gift of God? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that his justice cannot sleep forever. All right. We're going to go right into where we're at with the court case and what's going on. We got a call. Actually, we received some mail today, this afternoon, and we've been quite busy on talking with different people and figuring out what our next move is going to be. But as of now, April 24th, 9:30 a.m. has been canceled. And I will just quickly read the paper. It's the same old, no cause of action. But I'll read it. It's very short. It's only a page. We're going to respond with a writ of error. We're going to respond to point by point, and we're going to make, the very important point is that we had given this judge a writ of what was it called? Oh, goodness. Can't think of the name. But anyway, we had told him that he didn't have the ability to make a judgment on this, and we gave him all the necessary information on how a common law proceeds. And he nevertheless decided to make a rule, and he did it privately and quietly and quickly, very quickly. So he's guilty, no doubt, of felony rescue. New York is going to be meeting tomorrow. Prohibition, that was the one I was looking for. We gave him a writ of prohibition. And he did not obey that. So anyway, we're going to be meeting tomorrow, the people of New York as a grand jury, to discuss some matters and make some more decisions. We had already decided that any judge that gets in our way in a process that he would be considered indicted. We're going to confirm that tomorrow evening. We'll talk with everybody when they come together. And we'll discuss some of the strategies and some of the things we're going to do. And we'll keep everyone informed as soon as we know it. We'll send out some email as soon as we have another date. We do intend on getting another date. But we'll have to really get some paperwork filed, which we'll try to do tomorrow. And we'll definitely write the paperwork up tomorrow. We'll try to get it out tomorrow. I think we should be able to. And I will follow up with a call to the courts before the end of the week to confirm another court date and find out who the judge is going to be. And then we'll let everybody know. And again, people need to keep their ears to the ground here. people are going to be traveling from some far distances, and some people, you know, even just in New York alone, coming from far distances. So it's going to be up to you to keep informed, to keep in touch, to make sure that the date is on when we get this next date. We got numerous things to discuss, you know, privately, that is, for what some of the options are, but I think the option is going to be to file more charges and look for another date with another judge. But let me read this real quick. This judge's name was Raymond Elliott, and he writes, before the court is an application by a group of individuals calling themselves the New York Unified Common Law Grand Jury. The application, for lack of a better word, apparently seeks to summons a number of named persons, all associates in one way or another, with the New York State Unified Court System, to appear at the Greene County Courthouse on April 24, 2014, at 9:30 a.m. The purpose of this appearance is for convening of a common law grand jury. It is not clear to the court if these named persons were all served with a copy of this application. Well, I don't think it's got to be clear to the court whether they were served with a copy of this application, and of course they were, but that's irrelevant. This application cannot be entertained by the court. The applicant's moving papers do not comply with the requirements of statutes. And again, apparently he has not read the papers, and he gives the statutes. And he goes on, moreover, the application does not state any cognizable cause of action or present any legitimate claim seeking redress. Well, again, I don't think he read the papers. It is not recognized by New York State. The applicants apparently purport to convene a common law grand jury. There is no constitutional or statutory authority. And again, he has not read the papers. We gave both statutory and constitutional authorities for the convening of a common law grand jury. Since the applications have not presented the court with any cognizable cause of action, and again, they love that cause of action. How about someone injured? How about unalienable rights? How about everybody in New York has been injured by their unalienable right of not being able to get justice, due process? How about this right here, due process? Again, another cause of action as far as I can see. Causes of actions, by the way, seems to have been codified. So they have to have a code or something, so it seems. But we're not in a court of Anissi Priya's court. Anyway, it goes on. They have no, the court, the applicant have no, not presented with to the court, presented the court with any cognizable cause of action or any legitimate claim seeking redress. The court, sua sponte, dismisses this application. The court, and that's on its own accord, the court will not be present at the Greene County Courthouse on April 24, 2014 at 9:30 a.m. And none of the named people are required to appear at that time. Okay, and it's so ordered and adjudged and entered. So we're going to follow that up with a writ of error. We're also going to file directly. We'll confirm this tomorrow, but I'm sure we're going to indict. And again, we had already pre-decided we were going to indict any judge that got in the way. We'll reconfirm that tomorrow. So we will indict him. We will also file papers directly against him, and we'll give him his cause of action. We'll call it felony rescue. There are some, I've recently seen some New York code concerning felony rescue. It called it a little something, but it was the same thing. I'll see if I can't dig that up, and we'll give him some codes, since he wants some codes, and we'll give him his cause of action. He's the cause of action. And then we'll go into the court and do what we're going to do anyway. All the rest of the papers have already been delivered and served, and we're going to push the process through. So that's where we're at with that, and we will keep everybody abreast as soon as we know. We've been looking at a lot of things, so we really, anything more than that, we don't have any more decisions. Hopefully tomorrow we'll put some ideas together, and then we'll let everyone know as soon as we can. Let's see. We are, and those people who are in New York particularly, and in any place else, Jersey, Pennsylvania, if you're not too far, Connecticut, and so on. We're going to go up and help Bob Schultz. He's got a court case at 1:30, so we want to be up there earlier than that, maybe right after lunch, 1 o'clock, up in the appellate court in New York, Albany. And he went before the court, and he's in before the appellate court right now. I think he skipped the whole trial court and went right to the appellate court, if I understand it correctly. And he's looking to prevent. New York is having a constitutional convention. They're moving towards that, and he's moving to prevent anybody who is an elected individual or a lawyer, or what has was in the past elected or was past a lawyer, from participating in the constitutional convention here in New York, which is definitely a worthy cause, and we back him 100% on this. He's not doing it through the process of common law. He's going through the statutory process. He does have a lot. He's got a very good case, and he's got a lot backing himself up. So I think he could win. I don't know whether the judges, they'll try to pull their criminal activities, of course. So, but anyway, we'll see what happens there. Let's see now. Sheriffs, we got a list, and we got a list of all the sheriffs throughout the whole United States, every sheriff. I was able to strip all of the emails out pretty easily out of the document, and I put it into I have a program that sends email out in large packets, and keep sending them out until they're all out. I could send thousands out. And so I put it into that program that I have. And what we're going to do is what we did here in New York is we were educating the sheriffs by sending them, memorandums once a week. Well, we're going to break the memorandums down smaller, and we're going to do the same thing across the whole nation. So we're going to start priming all the sheriffs across the nation. And I don't know, we may send out two or three emails a week, but again, we'll make them a lot shorter so they're easier to for them to digest. And we're going to introduce ourselves as the people, here in across the United States, and let them know what we're doing. And we're developing these grand juries because the people realize that only the people can save America, and therefore we're standing up across America. And we're coming into the courts demanding our rightful seat in the courthouse as the grand jury. And we're going to lay it out for them, the whole thing. Again, we're going to teach them. Now, all of them won't learn, but there will be quite a few of them. There are a lot of, we know that there are at least 500 or so sheriffs that belong to a group nationwide that are working together. We know that that exists. I think they're working with Sheriff Mack. And trying to wake up the other sheriffs. Now, most of those sheriffs, although they understand part of the problem, they really don't understand the Constitution. They don't really understand the definition of liberty. And that is going to be what we're going to try to educate them in, is to understand those things. And also give them, and as we're talking with other sheriffs, hopefully we'll wake some other sheriffs up, and they'll join together with the other sheriffs and wax great in the knowledge of the common law and the Constitution. So that's a project we're going to start very quickly, very soon. Maybe we'll start this week. We'll see. Authority of the grand jury. There are some people who think that they can go and forward with court cases and either mention the grand jury or mention National Liberty Alliance, or maybe even we have one situation. I told the individual I was going to talk about this tonight in a state that that wants to do a court case against some people, and they think that they can exercise the idea that they can take their houses and their property and so on and so forth. The grand jury cannot do that. The only thing the grand jury can do is that we can, well, first of all, let's start off what the administrators can do. The administrators is the investigative body for the grand jury. And they have the authority, once we're in place, we'll have the authority. We are the investigative body for the common law grand jury. So we get the opportunity to go out there and investigate problems, answer phone calls, and investigate them and try to settle them. The key thing is to settle the problem instead of having to send it into the court. Usually the injury is not really great if it's caught early enough. Is it just, let's do the right thing and everybody's happy. Of course, as an injury, we try to negotiate the damages and the repair, the cost of the repairs of the damages and figure something out between the parties. Now, if they refuse to comply, and that could be either also an elected servant who is not obeying the law, not obeying the Constitution, we give them sort of a written prescription. And now if they don't obey, then what we do is we, the administrators, then take it to the grand jury. Remember, we are building the process, which means we're building the administrative process in order to house or bring forward the grand jury, the common law grand jury, people who are educated in the common law. So we're to facilitate for them is what we're to do. And we don't get to make the decisions as a grand jury. We bring it to the, we call the people out of the pool, out of the jury pool. And every time, you know, at least once a week, that grand jury is a new grand jury. It depends on how often we got to call them, but they should only work for about a week and then we let them go. And then we just call another one if we need another one. In some cases, they may have to be on call for a while, be called from time to time to settle a situation of a case that they started. That, of course, is from time to time will happen. But generally, I don't think they'd serve more than a week. But they come in. We give them the story. We lay out the whole process to them, what the problem is. And then they make a decision. The people make the decision. And that's the grand jury. Now, the grand jury decides to indict, then they have the option, and we'll suggest not only they have the option, we'll tell them, hey, look, what you need to do is see if you can't negotiate an agreement. So they call the person that's injured, and they call the person that injured the person, see if they can't make an agreement and not have to send it to court. Of course, if they can't do that, then they indict it. That's it. They go to court, and then the trial jury makes the decision. It is the trial jury that can order the execution of taking someone's property or taking someone's money or something in order to pay the debt to the injured party. But you can't take someone's property without due process. It is clear. That is the process. Now, I know the Magna Carta, I believe it's 61, talks about going out and we can take the king's castle, we can seize all his other properties, we could do everything but take his life, okay? But we could take everything away from him. Well, we don't have a king. We're the king. We have a government by the majority of by the consent of the people. That's what we have. We have servants. And when a servant does evil, that's not a king and it's not the whole government. It's that servant that's doing evil. And he's doing it under the color of law. In other words, he's using his authority in a place where he has no authority, or she's using the authority in a place where they have no authority. And so the process is due process. You can't take liens. You can't do commercial liens. You can't go take their property. You can't do those things. You can't go in and sue them for things. That's not what the grand jury does. So anybody that is amongst us that thinks that's the process, we're correcting you now. And if you want to continue to pursue things in that nature, then you should separate yourselves from us, because you're only going to cause problems for the whole, all the work that we, the people across America, are trying to do. We're coming in here procedurally, working through the process that's available, that our founding fathers had made available to us, that we had inherited from England, but they took it another step. There's some changes. We have the grand jury and the jury, and we don't have a king. We have government by the consent of the people. So, again, please, anybody that's out there playing around with this UCC stuff, you could do it in your personal court cases. It's none of our business. But when you do it in the name of the grand jury, the common law grand jury, it becomes everybody's business because you're gonna cause problems for we the people. If you do it in the name of National Liberty Alliance, you're going to cause more problems. Anybody has a court case out there, don't bring up the facts of what we're doing with the grand jury. Don't bring up anything with the National Liberty Alliance as if we're some kind of authority to go in to do something in your case for it. We cannot do it. It has nothing to do. Again, that's not honorable. If you didn't realize it wasn't honorable, that's fine. We're telling you, it's not honorable to do that. And you're going to injure the entire movement of everything we're working on for this past year to do what we can. Okay, there was another issue on that. Well, I think I pretty much made this. Again, do not use National Liberty Alliance's name. We are just a facilitator. We are a nobody. It is we the people. That's the power. It's you the people. It's not National Liberty Alliance. Some people, it takes a while to figure this out maybe, or people who are on the outside looking in. This is not National Liberty Alliance. This is the people. All we are is facilitating an education. We're facilitating a place for people to get organized. That's all National Liberty Alliance is doing. And at some point, the people will increase and National Liberty Alliance will decrease because it's the people that have got to rise up from the grassroots. That's where our power is. That's where our authority is. And it boils down to the people of your county. When you pull the grand jury together or you pull a trial jury together, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's what's important. That's what you're focusing on, the people, the power of the people. So please, don't use National Liberty Alliance's name as if it's some kind of a power or some kind of a wedge for you to get in someplace or do something. We've had a lot of email conversations going on in our National Liberty Alliance over on our Meetup site. Anybody who doesn't know about our Meetup, on the right side of our website, you'll see a little box there that says Meetup. And you can join our Meetup group where we get, we send emails and reminders through that group, particularly, through that that venue. And we have a calendar there. We have some information. And we have people, everybody's able to communicate by email there. We brought this up before. We'll try to bring it up again. Maybe we'll have to just remind people when we get new people from time to time that we want to keep the email there minimum because it goes out to a lot of people. And when you have 20 or 30 emails in one day, it becomes a problem. Even if the person that's receiving it checks the box that they only want to receive one email a day, they're going to get 20 or 30 emails in that one day, and it's too much for them to go through, and especially cases that they're not interested in. So people are discussing different personal cases and personal situations there. We do have an area. We have a discussion board, and we have different categories. You can go over there and have the discussion, but not on the email. We want to keep the email there for educational purposes. If someone has something that's important that they want to share with everyone concerning something about the common law grand jury and what we're doing or something that happens, that's what it's for. And but we don't want to get lost on a lot of different conversations that's off point. So please, everybody over there, stay on point on the email. Let's see. State coordinators. I'd like to talk a little bit about the state coordinator positioning, what their job is. The state coordinator is not the chief. They're not the leader of the county. They're the servant. That's what they are. They are the servant. They are to serve the organizers. And they serve the organizers by assisting them to get one county organizer over here to meet another county organizer over there, to get people to work together, to get them to come to a meeting once a week, at least right now, a meeting once a week, maybe for a half hour. You don't need to spend too much time together in meetings. But the key thing for the meetings is to meet each other, to get to know that, hey, you know, this county over there is going to be running a running the process of constituting a grand jury, and this place over there, and when is this one going to do it, and can you guys do it over there? Hey, can you help this county out? They need people. You know, let's go to each other's I don't want to call it elections, but each other meetings for the purpose of constituting a common law grand jury process in your county. So it's important that the county organizers get to know each other, to work with each other, and it is the state coordinator's job to try to get them together. If you have a problem person, and we've been having some problems in a few places, and trying to figure out how to handle it, because I guess you'll call us the national level. We don't want to get into the business of the people in other states. I'm in New York. I have my own problems here in New York, and I have my vote here in New York, like you have your vote in your state. I have my problems in my county, and I got to work with other people in my county, and that's what you people have to do in your county, in your state. For us to have to come in and make corrections of people who are subverting, it's not good. But if we have to do it, we will do it. Only in the case of subverters. Nobody can throw anyone off of National Liberty Alliance. They shouldn't be thinking about doing that. They shouldn't do that unless they are subverters. The enemy is amongst us. There's no doubt about it. We've been experiencing it for quite some time. We've been pretty good being able to suppress what we can and getting rid of some of these people, but they're still here. They're coming in. They have no honor. They're sneaking in, even though it says clearly on when they join up that if they're coming for subverting, that they're not to come in. You know, but they're not honorable people. They're here to spy and to figure out how they can find fault. They're here to do the deeds that they've done in America as parasites, to come into an institution and destroy it, to demoralize it, because evil has no other way to do anything to get their power other than to do evil things. So they have no honor, but they are amongst us, and we will weed them out. And it's up to you to weed them out. It's up to the people to figure out who thinks they're boss and to let them know that you're not the boss. I'm not the boss. You're not the boss. I'm not a chief. Are you a chief? We have no chiefs. We all have a vote. You know, you got four administrators in each county. Eventually, that's where we're going to end up, is four administrators in each county. And it's going to take three people to go forward out of four. Two against two, you're at a stalemate. You got to work it out. You got to figure it out. You have no chief. I'm not the chief. Are you the chief? No, we're not the chief. We're the people. And we work together. We have to be honorable. We have to seek out justice. We have to do it with mercy. So someone suggested to me maybe we need to write some rules. I don't want to write rules because you shouldn't write rules. We don't want rules. But, you know, I was thinking about it a little bit. And maybe for the time period of organizing, we should have some rules for organizing, and in order to let people know what is the process and procedures. I mean, we got it all written down. It's in there. People will read. But we'll try to make it more clearer. If people are coming in here telling people that they have to get rid of their driver's license, that's National Liberty Alliance is not teaching that. Our research has not shown us that that's the road and that's the route and that's the process to save the republic. We researched everything we do, and we come to conclusions by our research. We're not taking anyone's word on anything. Someone gives us a good piece of information, we'll take it, but we're not going to run with it until we research it. And I'm telling you, No place in our research does it say for you to go and get rid of your to get out of the what do they call it to remove your application for voting. No, you should vote. You should vote. I think you should vote, but you do what you want. You don't want to vote, that's fine too. People will say, well, you're only voting in the corporation people. Well, yeah, you are, but you're also voting the same people have two positions. Because we, the people, had believed we were voting in people to really be representatives of we, the people. We didn't know that we're actually voting in people who are filling a corporate position and are working for this dictator in Washington or up in Albany here in my case, or that they were doing things not on the benefit of the people, but for the benefit of the corporation, the owners of these corporations, the people who own New York, the state of New York, or the people that own the state of Florida, or the state of California, or the state of Texas. So they're working for them. Well, we didn't know that. But the truth of the matter is that that's a fiction. The whole thing is illegal. And they do have two positions, and they do take an oath. So they're for both purposes. But the courts are corrupt, so they're not convicting them. And that's why we're here. And once we get in and we bring the common law back and the fiction disappears, they're going to find themselves sitting in the seat where they're supposed to be representing the people. And if they're not doing it, we're going to do something about it, aren't we? You see, that's what we're doing. But forget the fiction. The fiction disappears when reality sets in. And reality can't set in until we get up and stand and take these positions and get it out to the people and do our job. And that's an uphill battle. That's a battle, and that's what we're fighting. And we will win this fight, God willing, as long as we do the right thing. So it's important, in my opinion, to be registered for the voting in one of the major parties because when we come and take control of the process, we're going to enforce the acknowledgement of the elected committee men. And that will remove the Republican and Democratic parties as we know them today and bring back the people in control of choosing statesmen instead of criminals. And if you don't belong to a party, you won't be able to be part of that process. So all those people that are telling people to leave the parties or leave the election process, that is, they're taking away their opportunity of getting back control of who they want in office. Right now, it's a top-down structure. When we bring law and order back, it's going to be a bottom-up structure. There's not going to be no top. Everybody's going to have a vote. And we're not going to be going out putting up signs for politicians. That's their job. Let them go out in the street and put the signs up. We only need to get their signatures to support them to get onto the ballot. That's all the people, the committee men, are supposed to be doing. The only signs we should be putting up is reminding the people that they should go and vote and to go to nationallibertyalliance.org because eventually we will put down all the information for all, that everybody needs for voting. It's going to become very sophisticated at that point. And people will be able to understand the offices of these people and what their jobs are and who they appoint. And they'll get a 500-word essay from people running for office. And we will be choosing them, we the people, to choosing them, saying these people appear to be good statesmen. So, these are your choices. And we'll do the best we can to find as many choices as possible. And if they turn out to be something else, and they violate their oath of office, we'll remove them from office. We'll indict them. We'll bring them up to be indicted, and I'm sure we'll convince the grand jury to indict them. I think we'll be very persuasive. Or we'll give them the option to just step down and go away. Of course, in the beginning, really, we just tell them to obey the law and fix it, and they'll fix it, and then that'll be okay then. But anyway. We don't need people coming in and teaching things that are in opposition to what National Liberty Alliance is involved with. There are people that are amongst us. I know of at least one person that is in our group, and they're involved with another group. And as far as I know, they're not bringing that other group's information into us, and that's fine. I don't care. They can stay. If they don't do that, then it's not a violation. We can't go after people for what they do in their personal life. That's their business. But if they bring in these things, they're involved with putting together a shadow government where they've actually went out and appointed or elected or did something somehow to get governors for different states. And they're recreating a whole new government. And they want to get grand juries going in different buildings outside the systems that we've already built. We own those brick-and-mortar buildings. So they're working outside of the process. And we've talked about this before. If you get involved with that, the government can look at you as subverters to the United States. You can go to jail, and they could go after you as a terrorist, and you probably would be well defined as one that way there. It's very dangerous grounds. We already have the process. Everything's in place. All we need to do is go back and take the controls back. There is nothing wrong with our judicial system. There is nothing wrong with our political system. The whole structure, the way things work, the process, the procedures, everything, it's fine. Nothing wrong with it. The problem is the criminals who have taken over the controls of our process and our procedures. That's the problem. We have to expose them. We have to go in. We have to take control. And it starts in the courts. Once we get the courts back, we take everything back. It's a piece of cake at that point. But we're not in for a witch hunt. We've mentioned this numerous times. It's not for us to go after these people for what the past. We were concerned what they do from this point forward. That's what we're concerned about. Because if we go after them for the past, then we have to try everyone because they're all guilty. Okay? But that's not what we're doing. We're trying to save the Republic. Someone brings a complaint of damages done to them by these people, someone here and someone there. Well, that was a wrongdoing. We do have to deal with that. So we'll deal with that accordingly as we go forward. But we're not here in a witch hunt. Please, anybody that is coming from other places and bringing in different ideas, going outside of the process and procedures to do things that are different than what we're teaching here, that would be subversive to what we're doing. We invested a lot of time and our own monies. I've invested everything I got, I invested into this. All my money is gone. I'm broke myself, like most everyone else is anyway. But all my savings, my retirement, everything went right into this to do what we're doing today. And because I knew it didn't matter what I had. It didn't matter because I'm going to lose it anyway. So I might as well put it to a good cause and maybe help save something. So that's what we're here for. And a lot of other people are putting their time, their sweat, their tears, and their money into this thing to try to get our republic back. And we've researched and we researched and we researched and we researched. And I'm telling you, we've got it down to the process. And if you bring in these silly things that has nothing to do with the process, then it's only going to hurt us. And they're going to, once one group does it in one state, once one person goes in the name of the common law grand jury, or even just using the name National Liberty Alliance and goes after some judge and puts a UCC bond on them, UCC thing on them, and goes to seal their bonds in the name of the people, they're going to point to National Liberty Alliance and every single one of us and say, that's what they're doing. You see? It's wrong. We don't use the fiction to fix reality. We're going to use reality to make fiction disappear. So please, don't destroy everything we're working to build this thing up with. And it's up to the people. It's up to the four people, the 10 people in the county, to be on alert for anyone that's coming in with ego, anyone that's coming in to subvert. You got to fix it. Maybe the person doesn't realize they're subverting because they're coming in with poison. Just straighten them out. Talk to them. Be patient. Be understanding. But be firm at the end. And if the person doesn't want to hear, then ask them, look, you could stay in, but, leave the process where you're organizing and teaching people these things. We don't want it here. Keep it to yourself. And if they refuse to do that, then it's up to you to get rid of them because they're going to destroy what you're doing. So, we're going to kind of set up some kind of rules that will be used only for organizing. once we get organized, and we're now, once the whole nation is organized, and we're starting to get all of the administrators, and then we won't need the organizers anymore. It'll be only four administrators in each county, and anybody who wants to help them, of course, is open to help. And it'll be one state coordinator per state, and that's it. And but the whole thing will be really be getting down to the business of the people in the courts. That's what it's going to be about. That's where we're heading. Until then, we need organizers to help organize this, and we need coordinators to coordinate the organizers and get things working. So let's do what we got to do. I'd like to talk a little bit about state leadership and how to get a state active. We have, if a state, any state that does not have a state coordinator, at least one state coordinator, is not active. We have some states with state coordinators and they're not doing nothing. Listen, you got to wake up. The organizers, if your state is not moving and you got a state coordinator, call your state coordinator and let's get things going. Maybe if they don't want to be a state coordinator, find another one. Let's get it going. But any state that has an active state coordinator is moving forward, and they're moving forward fast. Any state that does not have a coordinator at all is just stagnant. They're going nowhere. They got people, but nothing's going on. And they don't have enough people. They're not growing. Okay? I like to name some states that don't have coordinators. Please, if you're in this state, maybe you can volunteer to be a state coordinator. Look for more people. You can have two or three or four. You don't have to overburden yourself, but you got to help. We need people to help people to get these things going. Alaska, Arkansas, Delaware, Idaho, Mississippi, North Dakota, Oklahoma, Vermont, and Virginia. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 11. 11 states do not have state coordinators. I'll repeat them. Alaska, Arkansas, Delaware, Iowa, Mississippi, North Dakota, Oklahoma, Vermont, Virginia. We need state coordinators. Please, someone step up and take the position. Now, what a state coordinator needs to do, first order of business, and you get a partner, get a second state coordinator if you can't do it, or a third one. Whatever you need, let's get the job done. Even just get volunteers to help do what you got to do. You need to get to, any state coordinator has the access to the list for their state. And they can get all the phone numbers, they can call all these people up, and then they can start talking to the people, get them active. Okay? Look to the counties that you have people in. You know, you may, let's say you only got 30 people in the state, and let's say you're covering 15 counties. Wow. You can get 15 counties constituted in 2 weeks. All you have to do is call the people up and get it going, okay? And once you get the 15 counties constituted, you now kind of excited everybody. And excitement breeds more excitement. And other people see that excitement, and they start to come in. And before you know it, as you're doing all this excitement and you're doing these elections, so to speak, you know, reconstituting grand juries, new people are coming in because you're bringing friends and relatives and people from the county next door, you have a little newspaper ad going on, and you're visiting a couple of, liberty groups and inviting them. So people are coming, they're hearing it for the first time, they want to get into it, you just picked up new membership, they're telling their friends, their neighbors, they call their brother, their sister across in another county, other side of the state, or some other state, and they get active in that state. You see, this is how you grow. And this is why, as soon as we get a state coordinator that takes their job and starts running with their what they're supposed to do, all of a sudden, the state starts to boom. But right now, we have 11 states without state coordinators. And they're sitting like lumps on a log, and the people are not active. Nobody's talking to them. They're forgetting about what they signed up for. And we're not going anywhere. So let's go, those states, let's go. And again, we do have some states that have state coordinators and they're not doing their job. For ideas, all you have to do is go to our website and go to contacts, click on state coordinator, And right there on that page gives some ideas of state coordinators, and it tells you, you know, about what your job basically is to do, which is to coordinate all the organizers, get things moving, get elections going. That's what we're supposed to be doing. So please, state leaders that are out there, the coordinators, let's get moving. And those states who don't have a state coordinator, let's find some. Someone a couple of weeks ago volunteered, and I don't remember who it was. Maybe you can give me a call tomorrow, 845-233-6560. I'll repeat that. 845-233-6560. Give me a call. Someone who volunteered take the meetings we're having and cut out segments to create Q&As. So we can, you know, when I talk about something particular, you know, we can give it a label. It's a question and answer. This is what it's about. And then we can put it up. And so people will be able to go through the list and see different topics and be able to say, oh, I want to know about this, or I was wondering about to do that. Okay. So please, whoever that was, maybe give me a call and let's discuss that and see if you're still going to do that and where we're at with that. If there are other people that would want to volunteer for that, that has the ability to cut those MP3s up into shorter MP3s and, you know, give it a label, give me a call tomorrow, 845-233-6560, and that's something we need to get going. Also, a lot of people are hitting the wrong buttons to talk to people on our website. For instance, we have contacts. If you need information, call your state coordinator or call your county organizers. Call them both. Get active in your own state. If you really need to talk to me, then you can call me. But, you know, I'm real busy and I get a lot of calls and I can only take so many calls. So before you call me, talk with your county organizers and your state coordinators first, and then you can call me if you need to. Or you can wait till a Monday night program and be early on the Q&A thing and get in front and ask the question here. Also, email. A lot of people send me email. You think I'm reading it. I'm not. I can't possibly read my email. It's not possible. You know, don't email me unless it's really important. I do have some important email that comes, and sometimes I lose a lot of that because it gets lost in all the other email I have to delete. And so it's real difficult for me. If people have me on some kind of a list where I'm getting email from them as, you know, some kind of a news type, you know, information list or something, you know, remove my name from there because it's really, you know, just clouding up all of my email. I just can't keep up. And it is important for me to try to answer email if I get it, and also to get my important email, people that I need to be communicating with, sending me information, things of that nature. So anyway, we have, if you go to tech support, if you have a technical problem, you go to tech support. But before contacting tech support, read the following first. I'm going to read what's on this page, and people are not reading because they still ask the questions that they shouldn't be asking here. If you cannot sign in, clear up your browser and cookies and reboot your internet browser and try again. If you still cannot sign in, click in sign in and use the email address as your username and then click send password. You should receive a link in your email. Click on the link, then you will be taken to your account where you will then need to create a new password and update accordingly to number one and number two below. And I'm not going to read all that, but if you want to be a state coordinator, then, you know, you click here and you'll send a message to me. If you want to be, let's see. But anyway, when you get down to the bottom on technical support, the point is technical support is for exactly that, technical support. You have a technical problem, you can't get into the site, whatever the case may be. But first try those things, because usually that's the problem. Another problem we have with people is they've got these strange, and it's been getting a little popular, I guess, these filtering things where you send someone an email. And you know, there are a lot of people not getting any of our emails that are in their system because they send us an email And then we get the email gets bounced back and says, if you're a real person, click this button and do this or do that. Well, we can't cut the button and do that. We're sending out thousands of emails. All that just falls by the wayside, so you don't get the message. So you might want to consider a different filtering system, or just get a Hotmail or some kind of email just for this and check it every so often so you get the updates. If you're in the meetup group and you do that, same thing. I've had some people who, they're not getting the email to get connected. And the reason is because they have that filter thing on and they're not getting email. So how can they get it? They're being filtered out. If you're a live person, click here, you know. And so, you know, you're not getting nothing. So people need to think about that and fix that if they have that problem. I think that covers all the things I wanted to talk about tonight. Let me just breeze through my list. Okay, next step for constituted states. Any state that has constituted all of their counties, they need to move into the next step. And I guess we probably should do a PowerPoint on what the next step is and have a meeting or something. But basically, the next step really is to move forward with going to the county, getting all of your sending into the town, into the county court clerk a copy of the declaration of the constituting of a common law grand jury in that county, and also to the county clerk for a memorial to be posted for notice to all men. And then on the top, there should be a cover letter, one going to the clerk, telling the clerk that you're going to be giving them a call in a week or so, 10 days, in order to get introduced to the custodian of the building so you can get access into the building where you can get some office space and access to a meeting room. And, of course, they're going to deny you. They're going to, you know, say, we can't give you that. Then you have to organize a sort of a committee. That's what we did here in New York, a group of people traveling to about four or five places, different counties, and trying to physically get access by going directly to the court clerk. The court clerk will then deny you again. You take that as a opportunity to do a little bit of investigating. Are you denying me? Why are you denying me? Oh, I'm not denying. Well, who's denying me? Find out who's denying you. Take notes, because those are the people that you're going to have to go to and pressure them to get access into the courts. Why are you denying? By what authority are you denying me? You don't have the authority to deny us. Okay, they think they do. So now the next step after that is to do a mandamus with them. And then after that, it's considered an indictment. And then after that, the quo vanto. And then after that, well, we'll see where we go after that. We're not going to talk about that because that's where we are in New York. But that's the process. And everybody needs to learn about it, and they need to be able to know how to write the papers. You can pretty well duplicate ours. Someone in your state should show up. We see them all over. People will eventually show up in your state that has common law background and a little bit of procedure background. We can work with those people pretty easily. We can help them write the papers and learn and work together in your state to do what you got to do. So that's how that works, and that's where the states that are already constituted need to start moving into that direction now. We got to keep moving going forward, okay? All right, I think that brings us to the end of anything that I wanted to talk about. We now go to the mics and open the mics for questions and answers or comments or whatever people want to say. So we'll take our first caller. It's Reverend Jay Brown, is it? You got the mic.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You're doing a good job. How you doing?
Good. Thank you. And yourself?
Well, good. I see they denied us access again up there to the in New York. Anyway, God is with us, so we'll win. But I have a couple of questions here now. How do you know if a lawyer is under the British Crown? I mean, how does How do you know that?
Well, I don't know that the lawyers under the British crown. I know that a lot of our tax on property is under the British crown somehow, because ultimately it's set up like the serfs, and you're renting your property. If you read your deed, you'll see that it says that you're a what's the word I'm looking for that they say you're a tenant, okay? And if you start looking that up, you'll discover that it means you're not the owner. So it's a game they're playing with the taxes. As far as the lawyers, it's the Bar Association. It's the British. I forget exactly what it stands for. But the people behind that, what is it?
Is it British Registry or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Now, it does lead us back to Britain. But remember, it's really the elitists. It's just another cover. And it leads us back to, then they call the American Bar Association, which again is the American British something or other. But, you know, the ultimate thing is that it's the New World Order. All attorneys pretty much are being trained to be minions for the New World Order. There are attorneys everywhere you go, you know. We discovered, I mean, we should have figured this out, but we got enough things we're figuring out, and we didn't figure it out till recently, is that the sheriff can't do anything, really, because even if he arrests somebody and does the right thing, the minions are going to let him go, because you have to go through the prosecutor, and the prosecutor is going to let that person go. And they're going to get back to that sheriff and tell the sheriff, don't you be doing that anymore. If you want to arrest somebody, you come talk to me first, and we'll let you know whether you can arrest them or not.
Right.
Because they got total control.
I understand what you're saying. But anyway, so whether they're under the British crown or whatever, that it's immaterial at this point.
Yeah, it's irrelevant anyway, because once we take our courts back, we're not going to try to get rid of the Bar Association. The bar will fall apart on its own, because no bar attorney is going to be able to win in a common law court. And in order for them to win, they're going to have to play outside of the bar rules, which they're not allowed to do. And when they discover there's money to be made outside of that, but it's going to have to be reasonable now, not the things that they've been doing. And, you know, look, these court systems will keep a case going for years. There's absolutely no reason for it. None. None. None.
Okay.
None.
Okay.
The
now,
whole
if,
thing, I want to finish this point. The whole thing about going through years in court is for the lawyers to make their money. Every time you go to court, the lawyer's going to make a minimum of $1,500 a pop. Every single time. He writes a paper. He's going to hit you for $1,000, $700, or whatever it is. He goes to court, he's going to hit you $1,500.
Okay. Yeah, I understand that. I agree with you. I hear you loud and clear. Now, what about the judges? If you say you want a copy of the transcript that in the course, are they does the law say that you got to pay for that? Can you hear me? Hello? I don't know
All
if
right.
you can hear me.
I guess I got thrown off. I got kicked off of my Skype.
Oh, okay.
So I'm back in now.
Let me ask that question again. Now, does the law require that a person pay for a copy of the court transcript? Is that a law that says that you got to pay to get that?
Everything is free and should be free. Everything. But they're stupid statutes. They make money on everything, and you're just giving more money to their retirement plan is what you're doing, because it's all the silly statutes to make money on. No,
so
you shouldn't be doing that. But we have to pay it. We'll pay it right now to get in to do what we got to do. But later on, I want my money back.
Mm. Okay. So there's no way to get around that. Of course,
you can go in and play their game with that. Well, you don't have the money, and then they do. You got to give. They ask you, give you a questionnaire, and you got to do the questionnaire and go through their hoops and so on and so forth. You can argue the point, but that's a court case in itself. But you're not going to look at. It's just a problem, and there is no real solution. I pay the bill to get in there, but I always look to get my money back, and more so now than before. And you know, it's they got control over everything. These people are criminal. They're just criminals.
I
they don't care about
understand.
justice.
Well,
they care about money.
Okay, we're just at the point of just I appreciate your hard work that that you're doing up there, Don, and may God bless our leadership at National Liberty and keep moving forward.
Well, amen to that.
That's it. Thank
okay,
you.
I appreciate the call, and again. Once the common law grand jury is in power, you know, we get the authority and we get the courts back to common law, there will be no more charges. We've already paid for those buildings. We pay for those fax machines. We pay for the copy machines. We pay for the paper. We pay for the ink. We pay for all the people working there. Why are they charging us money? We already paid all. What bill is it that we haven't paid that we got to go pay more money when we go into court? What's going on here? You see, there's something wrong there. Again, it's just more evil, and we're going to fix that. But we can't do nothing with it right now.
They've been talking about this case on C-SPAN. I don't know if you know that. That
Which
was supposed
case?
To be coming up in New York.
Oh, what we're doing?
It was on television. Well, I guess it seemed like it was the same thing. I saw a couple of Supreme Court justices on there last night. What's that, Sotomayor? She was one of them. And this heavyset guy, he was Supreme Court Justice. They were talking about a court in New York on this week. So I assume they were talking about the common law hearing that you were having. That was the impression that I got. I didn't know if it was something else different. That's the only thing that I know of. But they were talking about. Yeah, it's on C-SPAN. They were on there last night.
What were they saying?
Well, they were talking about freedom of speech.
Uh-huh.
That was one of the things that they talked about, freedom of speech and freedom of press. They were talking to a group of court reporters. But I'm sure you can go back and
yeah, I'll see if I can find out and see if they mentioned
they were talking
that.
Basically, last night they were talking about freedom of speech, freedom of press. And I forget this guy's name. I should have paid more attention to him. They asked him point blank. Now, when you check me out, you'll see they asked him point blank. He was a Supreme Court justice, a Mexican guy. They asked him what about persons' rights. I forget exactly how the commentator was putting the question. He said, basically what he was saying that the government doesn't have a right to interfere with anyone unless that person has done something, you know, like they owe that person, did something, property or something of that nature, they owe them some money or they damage you or something of that nature. I also say physically harm the individual. Other than that, the court shouldn't be into the business of micromanaging the affairs of other people's lives.
Right. Well, the
so
courts, obviously the judges don't get that message, so maybe they need to do more communicating there because they're bothering everybody. They don't leave anybody alone.
This was a Supreme Court justice that
right.
was saying this.
Yeah, well, from New York, I'd love to get his name. Maybe we'll give him a call, see if he'll come rule on our case. You know?
I'm sure if you get the somehow or another, I'm sure. Anyway, I know the one woman that was on there, the Hispanic lady, was named Sonia Bejamane or something like, of that nature. I forget her name. Old lady. She was there. She was there. She was there. Yes, sir. She was there. I'm 100%.
Hey, I will take a look into that and see what I can find with Sonia.
Into that. They were, she was on that show last night on C-SPAN. And this other heavyset Mexican guy. They both on the Supreme Court is what I'm talking about. Not just the Supreme Court of New York. They're on the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court.
Okay. Well, I'll see what I can find out.
Yeah, okay,
all right.
Then.
Thanks for the
right,
call.
Thank
we'll move to the next
right.
caller.
Okay,
thank you. Okay, going to Jersey. Is that you, Jason? Next call.
Yes, John, thank you very much. Jason
How you
Burke,
doing?
New Jersey, state coordinator. Yes, well, I'm sorry that our wonderful civil servants, civil masters, have placated their responsibility under their oath of office and violating other bonds also. Well, you know, we've been doing some research in Jersey. And if anyone stops any person from doing their filing their papers, that's not with the clerk, can be actually arrested at that point. With just need three witnesses, and with the event of having the sheriff there, you can have the person arrested.
Well, we have the same codes in New York, and we have U.S. codes, and then we have a sheriff that in one county we tried to do it and. And I understood his position, and so we went and talked with the prosecutor, and then I really understood his position. He was really saying to us, if we arrest him, they're only going to let him go. We got to go work with them in this kind of a matter. And the ultimate thing is that they really don't. They can't interpret the Constitution. They're not educated enough in the Constitution to be able to interpret it. And that's their problem. I mean, we have sheriffs in New York that come and talk, and others that'll say, "Hey, the law says this in this area, and this is, but in our area it's different here." And Gerard makes the point, "Well, wait a second, whoa, the Constitution changes from one area to another area. What's going on here?" You know, so they look at, they're as dumb as we are. They're as dumb as a box of rocks, and we just realize it. And we're gonna educate ourselves, and that's how come we're getting educated, and that's how we're gonna be able to deal with this and understand this and know what needs to be done. We now know what the sheriff should be doing and by what authority and how, but he doesn't know because he has to be educated too now. And we're gonna start doing that across the nation, like I said. That's our next project, and hopefully in the next week we'll have that executed.
So in the event that if that say that clerk didn't starts not filing the papers. Would that be an easier way to go after your
Yeah, we did, but the prosecutor will not prosecute.
So basically,
he got the phone call. Don't prosecute.
But the thing is that it's right there in black and white that if a person does not accept your papers and does anything,
doesn't matter. Once the sheriff makes the arrest and turns them in, the prosecutor gets it. They'll throw it out in court.
On what grounds?
On whatever grounds they want, because they're criminals.
So everything we've read about indicting individuals, violating the citizens, sovereigns of their state, cannot be done. You have to do it the way you have been doing it for the last year now.
That's the only way to do it, and you sue everybody that gets in your way. And with us here in New York, we keep building up the pressure. Look, if there is anything that they are, I'm talking about the judges here in New York, and I'm talking about the judges and the executive body and all the judges down to the administrative system, including except for the guys who can't read, you know, which is most trial judges. Okay, if there's anything they are, and also the court clerks, is they're frightened to death of us. We know because of the way they're acting. Look, they were dying to get us in court because they figured that they can control us, and we opt out of allowing that to happen in the beginning until now because we had to go through certain things first. Now they're dying to keep us out of courts because they know that they're going to lose it. Because they're not going to be able to make one word of argument against anything, anywhere, anything we have to say, because they can't do it. They're criminals, and they know they're criminals. And why are they frightened? Because they don't know what the end result is, and they don't know how many people are involved. But they do see 62 counties have constituted it. They got 62 seals. They've unified. This has gone to other states. It's in every state. And they might have at this point even heard about what we're doing nationally. Internationally, I mean. So, you know, they're saying they got to say to themselves, they start looking at all of their, skeletons in their closet, and they're shaking in their boots, and they ought to be. And we'll keep them shaking. We'll keep putting the pressure. And we got to get the TV cameras up there. You know, the alternative news, we'll start with that. We need to get the mics in front of their face. We need to get our day in court. We need them to see the people. I mean, what do you think the judge would do if we would have gotten into that room and he sees that the room is totally filled to capacity, rolling out to the halls, past the doors where he enters in, he can't even get into the courthouse, and out the doors? What do you think he's going to do about that when he has to sit in that seat and deal with all those people? Mm-hmm. And we all step up and point our finger at him and tell him he's indicted or if he doesn't obey the law.
Mm.
You know, that's the only way we're going. Only the people, we say right on our front page, we mean it, only the people can save America. The politicians can, you can't elect anyone to do it. They'll never do it. They are the problem.
Yeah, this is a definite truth. I mean, what is it, the uncivil disservice, as I've been putting in my paperwork. And I'm just very disheartened that we have to. So basically the time frame now is another month of delay?
No, I don't know yet. I don't know. We know what we're going to do. I already mentioned we're going to do some writ of error. We're going to file criminal charges against him, and that's what we're going to use to get back into the court. Let's see him throw the criminal charges out. And we're going to be going, and you know, the one judge has seen, look it, from reading his paper, it is clear he didn't read any of our papers. Is this guy a moron? We're going to destroy and show him every place in our paperwork where it disproves everything he said here. Okay? And that we're going to do that in a writ of error. And then we're going to make him the focus of the court case to get into the court. And when we're in there, we're going to deal with all our problems because they've already been filed. It's already been filed. So we'll see. You know, look, it's not going to be a slam dunk. I never said it was going to be. It's going to be a fight, but we're going to win if we will prevail as long as we pursue.
Yeah. Well, it's just like, as you said, they're the criminals, and it's very disheartening that everybody, because only 2% of the population actually get involved, and another 98% are sitting there in a coma, and thinking everything is fine.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's that way anymore. I think people are waking up everywhere, but they're still not really woken up all the way. The gun issue has woken a lot of people up, and this imposter in the White House has woken a lot of people up. So, you know, it's getting there. But yeah, only a small percentage of the people really make anything work. Look at the handful of people, our founding fathers, that put this thing together. It's only a handful of people.
Yeah, this is true.
It's always a handful of people. We are that handful of people.
And thank God we have hands that we can grasp the water and be able to drink from the fine well of good intentions. But we are well blessed from our forefathers' hindsight. And as we go forward with our ability to think outside the box, we will do more. And the one thing that the devil doesn't like are three things: an intelligent lot, a fearless lot, and a lot of people thinking on their own. And of those three, with the one who's fearless can do more. Because again, they can't combat someone who has no fear. They're always trying to put something in them. And as we go forward, no one, if everyone who's here can just read Outwitting the Devil, and by Napoleon Hill, that's going to give you a lot of incentive to understand the beast that we are at ground zero with, and we're going to be able to walk away because we are fierce. We are fearless, and we are intelligent, and we have enough sense not to play with manure, because my mom was to say, well, you play with fresh manure, it splats. So let's keep our hands free of the manure and let the sun dry them out. With that, I yield to the floor, John.
You know, the Lord told us in Matthew 5 in the Beatitudes, you know, he said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake, for they shall be filled. And he also said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And that's what we have to be. We have to be pure in heart. We can be pure in heart by doing everything under principles, the sense of honor, justice, and mercy. And we need to be the peacemakers. That's what we're going in. We're going in with mercy, and we want to make peace with everyone. But we have to, we have to hunger and thirst for righteousness, and that's what we're doing. The common law is that righteousness we are hungering and thirsting, because it comes from God. It all comes from God, and that's what common law is. It's natural law, that which God has created. It's natural. Okay, so as long as we stick on those principles, as the Lord says, if He be for us, who can be against us? So we got to rest in Him and go forward. We were hoping we would get our day in court this Thursday and that we'd get through. We thought that it was looking pretty good, but we saw the possibility. We're not going to discard that, but we're not going to focus in on the negative. We're going to focus in on the positive and keep going forward. Yes. And when the negative happens, well, it happened for a reason. And right. Usually almost everything that has happened to us, when it didn't happen our way, a better way turned up. So we're looking for that better way, because that's been pretty consistent for quite some time now.
With all these obstructionists, if you look at having to make steel, they're giving us a lot of coal to make our new steel. In that fact, now, John, I'd like to know, when we file our papers, it says that we don't have to give them money. Is there an exact point where it states in whatever part of any legislation or any codes or constitution that exactly says that? Because again, if we're dealing with
the Constitution, doesn't say anything. Look, the Constitution doesn't say anything one way or another about that. The bottom line is this, okay? And the Supreme Court has ruled on numerous occasions that you don't have to pay for these things. It's already paid for, okay? And that's proven by the fact that these people are there every day getting a check. They're certainly not getting a check because they're collecting fees. They're getting a check because we're paying for that through our taxes. Okay? They're getting a check. We're paying for the paper, the ink, the air conditioning, the heating, the lights, the building, the construction of the building, the maintenance of the building. We're paid for everything. Okay? Pure logic tells us we shouldn't be paying any more, anybody should be able to use the system without giving them a dime. Okay? They're just thieves. Another way for them to make money.
Right. So like double dipping. We have a lot of that in, New Jersey and New York.
Yeah.
The Port Authority, former policemen go from their locale, and then they work for the Port Authority, which is a big black hole with no accountability. But again, if we're dealing with bricks, and the more that we have the information to show these bricks that as far as the fees, because I did try to talk to I think it might have been the deputy clerk, and she was adamantly that she wouldn't do anything for me with any papers, because it wasn't in her box of things to work with.
Right.
And the only thing I know is she's not there to look at it. Her job is there to just take it in and file and just give it a number.
Right, but they're going to do what they want because they're criminals. So it is what it is. We have to deal with them until we get into power. We have to deal with them. Once we get into the power, we're going to straighten them all out. So until then, there's nothing we could do. We have to deal with them.
Well, so basically, it's the if to follow your example, anything outside that would be, in a sense, a heresy or treason. In the sense of following the course, correct?
Well, I'm not sure when you say that, heresy or treason, and what for what now?
Well, if we know that we can to have these individuals arrested because they're not doing what they are supposed to do, if they're not following.
Yeah, well, look it. Once we're in, we're only going to go after those people that get in our way of getting in. Eventually, they're going to see that. Well, I'm sure they know it now. We're not chasing nobody else. We're not bothering nobody else. We're not going to. And once we get in, look at then, you're going to find people obeying. That's what's going to happen. You're going to find people taking early retirements that they're not going to get. At some point, we're going to take their retirement, I'm sure, because they've robbed us enough. But that the people's going to have to figure out later. I'm not going to concern myself with that now. But and we're not here about revenge. The bottom line, we're here to bring the republic back, to recapture the republic, reinstate it. So,
okay.
And look, there's a lot of battles. It's just not worth spending our time to fight. You're losing your energy fighting the other battle. Just pay the $310. Let's move on. $305. Let's move on. And we'll deal with that later. But right now we can't fight that battle because we waste too much time fighting that battle.
Okay.
We could be putting that energy where the real battle is. And that's after these criminals that are preventing us from getting into the courtroom. That's our focus. Let's not lose our focus, you know?
Well,
all right, let me go on to the next caller.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Jason.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye. Next caller is 847-428.
Hi, John. It's Robert in Illinois.
How you doing, Robert?
Doing okay. I just one quick thing I wanted to clarify before I get to my question. I had always, from something you said earlier, I'd always understood that the sheriff is the highest official in the county and can only be countered by the coroner and maybe the governor. Is that true?
Well, even the governor really can't. When it comes to the constitutional issue, even the governor can't stand in his way because he's the highest law enforcer, and he can actually arrest the governor if he's on the other side of the law. The problem is that they're as dumb as we are. They don't know
right.
what their power is, and they don't know what the Constitution is. They don't. They can't interpret it. Look it. Just think about this. If they read the Second Amendment and they really understood it, they certainly wouldn't be handling. They wouldn't be pushing permits, and they would ignore that.
Right, but the only check and balance would be the coroner, and that's only when it's legally necessary.
Yeah, and I'm not sure how that works, but a coroner does have some pretty power, pretty good power and authority. And I'm not sure how that works. I've never studied that, but I've seen it come up often.
Yeah, it might be something we want to look into so we know where you know what we got to work with.
Yeah, but then trying to educate them is another problem. You see, we're going to start an educational program on every sheriff in the United States starting within a week.
That's a great idea. I hope you hit Illinois, too.
We have about, we have a couple of states that don't have sheriffs. I know Alaska and Hawaii and Connecticut do not have sheriffs. We've lost 7 sheriffs here in New York. So I don't know how many sheriffs that account for, and there's a few other places, I'm sure, without sheriffs. We have a list of about almost 2,700 sheriffs. There are 3,132 counties, and so we're looking at we lack about 300 sheriffs that don't have emails. But amongst those sheriffs are sheriffs that are not – in other words, amongst those numbers are really where they don't have sheriffs anyway. So generally speaking, we have just about almost every sheriff in the nation.
Okay.
Or email.
My actual question I was going to ask, I'm a state coordinator for Illinois. And as you said earlier, I agree wholeheartedly that the state coordinator is a servant. He's not the CEO. He's not the ruler. He may be a leader, but that's just a walk first. You know, a leader walks first. He takes the hits. But he doesn't rule and reign over the others. So
exactly.
what we're dealing with is that a lot of the people in Illinois want to wait, unfortunately, want to wait and see how New York goes before they proceed, you know, the whole fear thing. And I don't agree with that.
Well, this is what you do. How many have you done any, you got many of the counties declaring?
Everything is on hold, and they voted to do that. And
really?
So,
I think it's time to look for other leadership then, because look at that. That's a huge mistake. Are they coming to these meetings?
We had been coming to meetings up until,
Are they coming to Monday night?
A few are. But,
okay, well, the few that are, let's get out there and do our job. Look,
yeah.
We haven't got time to cower. We haven't got time to get frightened. Let me tell you, do you think I'd be doing what I'm doing if I thought about these things? I don't have time to think about it. I'm too busy trying to do what I have to do. That's what everybody has to do. And if you can't do the job and you're afraid to put your name on it, then step aside and let's look for people who can. Look, we got to get this job done. People need to understand that if we don't accomplish our goal, the only thing left is lead. That's it. That's the only thing left. And we don't have much of a chance against these people with these weaponry they have, okay? So the only chance we have is that a lot of people that they think are going to be working for them are going to abandon their post and turn these weapons around the other way. And I certainly hope that that's what's going to happen, you know? But
right.
Look at in Nazi Germany, years after the war, the people just wish they didn't do. Okay, you know, when they came for the Jews, the people had done nothing. And then when they came for you, then it was too late, wasn't it? Well, that's what's happening here, okay? Don't wait till it's too late, because they're
right.
coming for your guns. They're coming for your liberty. They will not, mark my words, and I hope that this doesn't have to be proven, they will not allow one Christian, one Jew, alive in this whole system. They will not permit that because it is against what they are doing. They will not allow anybody with an American mind, the mindset of America, you are not allowed to live. They have got to take you out.
I agree.
You don't work in their new world order. You are a problem. Take that and take it to heart and let that motivate you. It only now do you have the time to pick up your weapons and do something. Pick up your pen, pick up yourself, get out on the street, get these things elected. Let's get power. It's power in the people. Stand up. Stand up and do it. We don't have the time to cower out. We just don't have the time.
Absolutely.
And just leave us if that's – we'd be better off with no one there. Let's go do it. And the leadership doing this, just step aside. Just step aside and leave us. We don't need you.
Yeah, even if we just
you need to be hard on these people. We just don't need them. We'll mark off the whole state and we'll start all over again. Leave us.
Yeah, even if we just
I'm out here doing what I got to do. There's so many people putting their lives on the line, and other people would make it a lot stronger for them not to be able to do anything to us. But then those people are going to allow these bastards to come in. They're going to kill your children. They're going to steal. They've already taken everything away from you. There is no middle class no more.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me angry. It really does.
Yeah,
leave
I
us.
Hear you.
We don't need you.
I started to say, even if we just take baby steps, you know, and just even keep making progress. But, you know, just to hold everything on hold to wait for you guys, it just is wrong. Mm-hmm. But here's my other...
It'll be too late.
I agree. There's one other
right
thing that's really important, John, that I do think there may be a problem. I think some areas the ideal is to go in and get access to the courts and have the grand jury meet and all of that. Illinois, as corrupt as it is, and I think we've talked about this before, may be an exception to that, at least at first until things solidify. I don't know. You probably don't know. I have filed a case in a court of record. You know, and I filed, I know all about the writ of error, quae quorum, nobis residant. I know how to do all of that stuff in common law. They railroaded me in a kangaroo court, sentenced me to 6 months, and I served 3 months in jail because I filed in a court of record. Can you believe that? Now, here's the problem. We're trying to get access in the courts. What's to stop them from rounding us up? You know, saying, yeah, come on in, and then whoever shows up, they round us up and just put us in jail or you know, start criminal proceedings.
Well, look, if it's that bad, then we've waited too long then, haven't we? Look, this is very simple, okay? You can get all of your counties organized, and you can get them, the declarations done. You don't have to file them yet. Get them all done before you file them, know? And you could be learning. You could all file them on the same day. And you can wait at that point before filing them also, but just get them done. Get your seals. Get the paperwork done. Get all of the declarations done. Keep them. Get educated. Continue to organize. Get more and more people. Look, you can unify and start working together, even though you haven't filed the papers. Filing the papers is not what makes you the unified grand jury. It's the people getting together and doing something. That's what makes you the unified common law grand jury. But all that work needs to be gotten done. You need to be educating yourself. I certainly hope they're not sitting around not educating themselves. Well, we'll get educated later. Well, it's going to be too late later. Look, I'll tell you, we don't need the people that are that frightened. There are a lot of people that have not joined us because they're frightened.
Right.
And, you know, we just don't have time to be frightened. I'm sorry to tell you, don't have the time. It's not we don't have the time. We don't have the luxury.
It's give me liberty or give me death.
That's it.
What it comes
to.
Patrick Henry.
You want to live in their world, c'est la vie, because I'll take the bullet in the head. I don't care at that point, because definitely I don't want to live under them monsters.
But I do think there may be.
I don't want my children to live under them either.
Right. But I do think, John, there may be a case for holding back the secret grand jury. No. Meeting outside of the court for a temporary, until we get solid footing and everything starts happening and our orders are honored.
Right. You can hold back filing the paperwork. Just get the paperwork done. Get educated. Organize. Grow. Get larger and larger. Get more and more. You know, you get so big at some point, maybe you'll start to feel real bold then. You're going to go in with the numbers. You think we were going up to this courthouse alone? We were looking to fill that courtroom, fill the halls, and pour out the front door. That's what we were looking to hope to do, and I think we were going to accomplish that. I really do.
I think the access may be the smaller issue. It's just getting enrolling, getting in motion. So,
yes. Do not wait. Anybody that's waiting because they're frightened, I think they need to leave their leadership role.
Yeah.
Go up on there. Look, I'll help you. I will help you. And when you get a little braver and you want to change your mind, you come back. But all you have to do is go up to my account. You click on my account, and you get in there under your name, and you uncheck that box that calls you a county coordinator, and voila, you're not a county coordinator no more. And I'm sorry to talk like this, but it really angers me that all those people, that so many people got together in one state and out of fear decided not to go forward. That's pretty alarming to me.
Yeah. Well, I'm still there, so I'm fighting.
Yeah,
okay,
well,
John, thank you.
We need new
thank
people.
You so much.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
All right, God bless. All right, bye.
You too, bye. All right. Sorry to get so emotional there, but let me go to the next caller. Sarah, 718, how you doing?
John, it's Sarah down in Florida.
How you doing?
Okay. I just wanted to bring up a couple of things that I think that would clarify a lot in regards to the fiction and the law. There's a YouTube clip called The Great Deception, and it's by a British person, Veronica Chapman. It's called The Great Deception, and it talks about natural law, common law, and statute fiction.
What was
her name? Veronica Chapman. She's one of the freemen in England, and she has a lecture on YouTube called The Great Deception. And it's very clear what common law is compared to statutes. So a lot of people are still confusing statute with common law. They're kind of interchanging it, and they're confusing grand jury, common law with grand jury, you know, in regards to the corporate fiction doing a grand jury, which is totally illegal and totally false. So, you know, there's a lot of confusion that I think a lot of people will some clarity.
I'll take a look at that and see once if that works with us. I mean, because bear in mind, we do have statutes, and I know I'm sure the UK has statutes also that have to be used because, you know, we have a constitution, and our constitution sets forth the ability for Congress to make laws in certain areas, and they're called statutes. They're laws, and they are executable as long as they stay within the criteria of what the Constitution defines. And so those work well. It's when they step outside that authority and start to make statutes to control the behavior of people. Nowhere in the Constitution will you will find that they have the authority to make statutes to control the behavior of the people. And that's the key thing.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, you'll be pleasantly surprised. And, you know, they do go by British Constitution to arrest judges because they're not upholding their oath, which is basically what we're working to do. We're trying to enforce that they uphold their oath to office and Constitution. You know, we're not trying to get people out of their position. We just want them. Am I still on?
Yeah, you're still on. You want them.
Yeah, we want them to uphold their oath, to uphold the Constitution. So, you know, we're giving them that chance to do the right thing in creating this common law grand jury and constituting all these counties that we, the people, are trying to enforce that they uphold the Constitution. And, you know, they have to decide what their loyalties are, whether to a corporate fiction or to the American people. And this is something that in due process that we're going to see that, of course, you know, there's all kinds of damages that have been done because the Constitution was not upheld. So even though you're not going to go after, even once the common law grand jury regains authority within the courthouse, I'm just clarifying that individuals can still come for remedy for damages that have been done in the past.
Well, that's true. They can. And those are things we'll look into and talk about later. It's not something to focus in on now, but it is true. Yes, people can come and get their remedies once we have the system in place. And we will. We will. We all have problems that we have to find remedy for.
Exactly. Now, another thing, because I had studied quite a bit with the OPPT for closing the UCC, and I just wanted to reiterate that actually, according to their own statute fiction of the UCC, they used, by the OPPT, they used those statutes to foreclose on them. And it has not been rebutted, and it's upheld as fact, and therefore fact becomes law in the UCC, that the whole UCC system is actually foreclosed. So I don't know why anybody would try to go after any judges using UCC code.
Well, I agree. Well, the UCC has its place, but definitely not used in our courts. And you're right. Why use their system, which is a fraud? Why are we going to use fraud to defeat the fraud? It just, you know, I can understand using it to protect yourself. You know, like mortgages, they're coming to take your home, and you just got to protect yourself. So you go and you talk about what's really going on. And believe me, they run away when they realize that you know. But other than that, I don't know. Going after these judges in different ways, you know, is not. I think what we're doing is the only way to do it. This is where we need to spend our time, right here. This is it. Let's bring our courts back and save the republic. Why just save our hindquarters in one place here or there and not get the real job done? Because they're going to come back at you again later anyway. And believe me, when they don't get you now, that's fine, because when the Nazis come walking down the streets, that's when they're going to get you. Because believe me, they are coming to march down the streets. Let me repeat this. I haven't said this in a long time. And for those who are frightened, you want to get frightened? We have over 600,000 foreign troops on American soil. There are over 300,000 Chinese troops on American soil, and they want their remedy. They want your land. Understand what I'm saying. They want your land. That's what's going on out there. What is that in Nevada, is it? Or Arizona? I think it's Nevada. That's what's going on out there with that cattle rancher. Okay? They want their land.
I feel
you understand?
That
they want your land. They want our land. They want America. Chinese troops are right here, 300,000 of them, over 300,000 of them, over 100,000 Russian troops, maybe as many as 200. It is over 600,000 foreign troops altogether on American soil. If that's not enough to frighten you and to put fear into your, I don't know what is. I don't know what is. We need to stop this now.
Yeah, well, I agree we need to stop this now. I don't agree necessarily that the Russian and Chinese troops are here to retake personal, you know, individuals' properties. I think if
the Chinese have an investment here.
They're going after the elected officials and the corrupt judges' properties is what
Who's
they should
going
be
after
going
that? Well, they should. Look, let me tell you, they're here by design. They're not here by accident. They're here because the doors of Troy have been opened. This imposter in the White House has opened the doors of Troy, and they have entered into America. They're here. Do you think Washington would have permitted this? Do you think Jefferson would have permitted this? Anybody in their right mind permit this? We the people don't even want American troops, a standing army on American soil. What the hell is wrong with us that we have 600,000 troops? And then you have people who are frightened to go and file a paper in a court. You better fear those foreign troops. That's what you better fear. And we need to do something. We don't have the time to cower down. We don't have the time to mess around. We don't have the time. We have to act now.
In regards to the gentleman from Illinois and anybody like him, I think that what they should be thinking about is, again, we do not have to have a majority vote in each county. All you need is one person per county that says, I want it, and therefore it becomes constituted because there is a standing person that wants it.
It's a Fifth Amendment. It's an unalienable right protected by the Fifth, Sixth, and Seventh Amendment.
Exactly.
Yep.
So we need to get that straight, that it's not a majority vote. If they're not going to, whoever's signed up as county organizers are not going to participate, it's time to bring in new people. And each place needs to get it done so that we can form this uniform unity behind you. And I think the most important thing is people have to have persistence, okay, because these criminals have been in power, at least here in the United States, over 100 years. They're not just going to roll over and say, okay, we were wrong, we're stepping out. You really have to corner them into a corner, and then they have to accede, you know, they have to agree that they've overstepped their bounds and either play by the rules or resign and be indicted and or, you know. So it's something that we all have to take as a long haul, that we're cornering criminals, that they cannot deny the evidence. And we have so many witnesses to these corruptions. There's no way they can win that. So be persistent, be bold, be strong. You know, just like anybody who would, in the material world, work hard and heavy for $1 million, we have to work hard and heavy for this freedom and liberty guaranteed us.
Guaranteed us, we lost you.
Yeah, that the Constitution
guaranteed us. Okay, amen. Well, I agree.
So, with that, I just wish you and everyone that's showing up in New York on the 24th that you have much success in doing what you're
doing. That's been canceled. That hasn't been canceled. It's been postponed. You must have came in a little late. We got a letter from the court. They're trying to weasel out. Now we have to file some papers and change the date and go through the process. Hopefully we'll have an answer next week on a new date. We'll try to keep it as close as possible, but we have to be reasonable for people to travel. So, you know, And we'll do it on, we're going to move it to a Monday, though. We'll do it on a Monday instead of in the middle of the week. This way, if people are traveling early in the morning, at least it's a Sunday, you know, they can, they didn't work the day before. So.
Well, everything will get done. We will succeed because there's one thing that absolutely cannot stand in front of truth, and that's falsehood. So when we stand up and say enough together and go through, they're being cornered into the smallest corner that there is no escape from the truth.
Right. Amen. And that's what we have on our side. We have the truth, and the truth shall set us all free, and the truth will win in the end. No matter what happens, the truth is going to win at the end because God said so. And that's it. There's nothing to talk about. I read the end of the book. I know how it ends.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, God bless, Godspeed, and just everybody, we got to get our stubborn on. That's it.
Amen. All right. Thanks a lot, Sarah. I appreciate the call. Let me go on to Patricia. How you doing, Patricia? Good to hear from you. You got the mic.
All right. I'm going to ask the question, and then I'm going to have to switch to my cell phone because this phone just ran out of power.
Okay.
I just wanted, was hoping that perhaps you could just run through the actual activities involved in filing, you know, just step by step. I think most of the Connecticut on, and I think it would be very helpful.
Right. Okay. And I guess if you're changing your phones while we're doing this, keep this phone going while you come in on the other call. On the other phone, you'll hear it. But you can always go back to the recording.
Right.
We do cover this under the Jurist link tab. If you highlight the Jurist tab and you come down, how to start a jury. On that page, we even have a video showing you what to do and how to do it. Now, all of Connecticut really has gone through the process. The elections are done. We've got all the counties, counts constituted. And now it's a matter of making sure your papers are in order and that you go out and get your seal and then file. And if you're going to all file together, which is what you should do, and remember, the big thing on filing is they're going to ignore you. You know, there's a lot of things to be done before you get to that point where you're going to end up in court, if you have to end up in court. Depending on what happens to the other states around you, you may not have to end up in court. But the key thing is in this package, you download the videos, the docs and the videos, and you put the papers together exactly the way this video says so. And basically on the top, the ultimate top, you have a letter, which we'll talk about that in a minute. This is what goes to the court clerk. And you have a letter, which is an introductory letter to, you know, with a grand jury, so a common law grand jury, we constituted, blah, blah, blah. The letter's already written out. You just have to make it to your own state and your own county and then put a signature on the end. You get someone, the best person to sign this thing, all the paper, you know, the best person to sign, other than the stuff we're doing here with the constituting, really it's all witnesses. But whenever you do a paper, a mandamus or anything, get someone whose signature can't be read very well because then we're not going to type the person's name. They don't need to know our name because we don't need to have them retaliating. That's why we don't tell them their names. And that's why no jury's names are ever known. You don't know the names of anybody in the juries. They're just the people. But anyway, there's a letter. The letter can say that basically you're coming in. Read the letter. It says basically that we're going to give a call in 7 to 10 days. We're going to want to get the name and an introduction to the custodian, the building custodian, so that we can get access to a office space and also a meeting room. And they're going to choke on that. They're going to resist. They're probably not even going to respond. But then you'll call up 5 or 7 days, 10 days later, and try to make the appointment. And they're going to brush you off. Then you do, you go around and you do you get maybe 4 or 5 counties, and you go through all the five counties or four counties within one day, one after another, and you'll be rejected. But the thing is you do an investigation at that point. Who's rejecting you? And you'll get the name. It'll be a judge, I'm sure. And you get their names, and those are the people you're going to be fighting with. But as far as the paperwork to file, that letter goes on top. Underneath that letter is what's called a file on demand. Again, we have it up there. You just have to make it work for your state. The file on demand, ultimately, as far as all of the codes, they're all U.S. codes, so it works in your state anyway. But just make sure your county name, your state name is in there. The other thing underneath that is the declaration, which is the one that gets the seal. It's got three witnesses on. And the three witnesses are just witnesses of people being at that process and witnessing this fact. They're not necessarily, none of us are really grand jurists. We're not claiming to be. We're going to identify ourselves as an administrator or witness. And ultimately on all these papers, the only one that would identify themselves as an administrator is on the letter. So it's identified as an administrator, common law grand jury administrator. Everyone else is just a witness. Then you have the three affidavits, one affidavit by three people, okay, that also gets attached to this. You have a copy of the press release that was released. We use the press release that's up there on the website. I think we did it for you. It went to each county. Each county has to have their own county names on it or whatever it was. We'll have to get that information if someone from our state made those phone calls for you. I don't remember that, but we'll get you that. What else is in there? I think that's pretty much it. It goes together, gets stapled together, and it gets filed. Now, all of this paperwork is seen in here on the download the docs and videos on that jurist page, how to start a grand jury in your county. And there's a video here. It's a 35-minute video, and it walks through. You can skip through the election process part because all that's done. You can get right to the paperwork part, and that's where you want to focus in. So it is laid out step by step, and being on a video, you know, you can pause it and rewind it and so on and so forth. And so you'll get it right, but there's not much to it. That's pretty much it. So are you still with her? I guess she's gone. Okay, anyway, that's the answer. If you want to pick up the mic again, you can hit star 6, star 1. Okay, Mary, next person, next question or comment.
Hi, John. Hi, everybody.
How you
Mary
doing, Mary?
From Connecticut also. Thank you for that and those instructions, John. We're ready, I believe. I like the support that everybody's saying. A bunch of people in Connecticut kind of have felt that we want to wait until we've garnished 24 people, in at least 25 people in each county to be jurists, and we've already established four county common law administrators before we file. And I'm like, no, we've got to file now because it's going to take 6 months before we end up getting anywhere with filing these papers.
Right.
You know,
yeah, Pat about that. I talked with Pat, and I guess you guys will talk about it this week. And, it's a good idea to go forward to do, because you got all the states done, all the counties done, get filed. And again, you're not going to be pushing hard, and they're not going to push you hard back. They're
right.
just going to ignore you. They're going to reject you. You go through the process. You got a mandamus to do. You got things
sure.
to do, and so get all that work done and out of the way. And then when you're ready, you know, meanwhile you're building up your ranks. Build up your ranks. And when you're ready, then you go into the court.
I want to give some encouraging news to everybody and an idea to plant a seed of what I'm doing here in Torrington, Connecticut. We have a local community radio station, and I'm going to take the class this Saturday, the training, so that I can have an hour slot. And during that hour slot, and it's international on the computer. Anybody can download WAPJ. But as I'm learning the courses, John, that you're teaching on National Liberty Alliance, I'm going to put all the common law little nuggets into an hour-long segment and just talk common law, just talk, you know, to try to promote in the in Litchfield County the need for the jurists, the need for the administrators. Get the word out there. Have a call in. We're not going to talk any issues, you know, current, you know, cases or anything, any of the corruption, nothing. No, we're just educating of what needs to happen. And then I want to start having classes here in my house or anywhere, at a community center, wherever. But start having the classes like other people in counties are doing throughout the nation that I've talked to. I think that's wonderful to have meetings. We really need to re-educate ourselves and completely learn everything and understand that we're teaching everybody else. And I guess the question that I have is that since I've been in the courts for 3.5 years, finding out 2 years ago that the grand jury was the correct method and trying both at Superior and appellate court and Supreme Court to get a Connecticut grand jury investigation utilizing the current statutes and method to do so, and hitting all the roadblocks. I couldn't believe that person in Illinois saying, well, I could, you know, how he's been trying to get the common law through and ended up in jail 3 months for something. I mean, you know, this is scary to me because I just filed firmed up my papers at the appellate court to try to save my house of 18 years of home foreclosure fraud and these criminal charges similar to what he experienced and what they're going through in Illinois where and throughout the nation people are afraid. We can't afford to be afraid. You know, be afraid that, that we're not going to
what's
going to
happen
enough,
if
really.
We don't
I mean,
do it?
We've got to do this.
Right. Be afraid of what's
going
to happen if we don't
do it. Since I've been finding out now and participating in National Liberty Alliance, and I'm a Litchfield County Common Law Grand Jury Coordinator, I'm telling everybody. I mean, the clerks at the Superior Court have known me for 3.5 years in Litchfield and Bantam Superior Court, and they hate me. I'm a troublemaker. And now at the appellate court for since October 2012, the Supreme Court level, this is my third motion. And since I've been involved with National Grant, Liberty Alliance, like for instance, I was in Hartford at the appellate court clerk's office today, and last Thursday filing my transcripts and everything, and I'm telling the clerks both in at the Superior Court about the common law grand jury and that I'm the common law grand jury coordinator and that we're coming and that we're filing papers. And I told them today, hey, listen in on the National Liberty Alliance. Find out what's happening. We're coming right behind you. You can't stop us. And I guess the question is that earlier in the phone call when you started your presentation, you warned us not to do that, not to use National Liberty Alliance in our current, cases. I'm not using...
Well, you can... there's nothing wrong with talking about it to people in the oath takers particularly and getting them out there to look, but not to put into the court papers. That's definitely something you don't want to do,
Yeah, no, I've put in that we're looking, actually these court papers that I put in today, I can send you out a copy or whatever. I'm going to post it on Facebook like I always do. But this is very impressive, my preliminary statement of issues. You know, just for example, something that you had mentioned with the papers you filed that have been rejected and the reasons why. But number 3 says the Universal Declaration of Human Rights mandates equal protection and due process. My God-given natural common law rights, long ago established in the Magna Carta and preserved in the United States Constitution, have been deprived from me. I insist that my human rights are upheld by this honorable court. That's on my preliminary statement of issues, I have 8 paragraphs, but my last one, oh, and I've told them, look, you know, it doesn't matter at this level, regardless of whether or not I get into the courts through this method or not. I've told them in this document and other documents and in verbal conversations that, number one, I'm going to file in federal civil court if I have to. And number two, that we are forming the common law grand jury. I told them that we've constituted since March 15th and that our paperwork is forthcoming. I'm letting everybody know that, you know, and so regardless of whether it doesn't matter what they do, because eventually we will be successful and we will have our courts back. And I tell them that. Oh, you know what?
Well, that's true, and that it is important. It is important.
We're not going to let the whole nation be destroyed by some bad apples.
Hang on a second, Mary. Look, it is important that we tell these people what's going on. We in New York have been informing all of the oath takers for 7-8 weeks now of what we're doing and what's going on and what's happening next. We're letting them all know. The sheriffs, we're letting all of the clerks know. We're letting the judges know. We're telling them. And so that you should be doing anyway. That's good to do, whether you do it verbally or you do it the way we did it in New York. And again, we're going to be doing all the sheriffs throughout the nation, so we're going to get all the sheriffs in. You know, as far as just don't put it into your court, we do have some people in other states that actually want to actually put this stuff in use the name of the grand jury and the administrators and then go do UCC stuff. You can't mix that stuff. You cannot do it. Someone's going to jail on that, number one, and you're going to mock the whole thing that we're doing, and it's going to be a mess. Don't do it.
Said that I don't want to put any problems in here for us to be anything
right.
but victorious.
Right.
The
only thing is that when you get into the court, you know, when you get into the court as the grand jury, of course, you're coming in as the common law grand jury in that state, and you don't want to bring NLA into it. NLA is again, we're facilitators, is what we are. We're facilitating the education. We're facilitating the organization. We're facilitating whatever you need to get done to work together as a group, as a people. We're not a leader of anyone. I mean, to some degree, we are leading, but, you know, we're really looking for people to get educated so they can lead themselves in their own counties from the grassroots level, because we can't be hypocrites about this. It's all about the people in their own counties. And if we're all doing it in our own counties, then we're going to get it done across the board.
Absolutely. Amen. Yeah, this is wonderful. Yeah. I love everything that's happening. It's so exciting. But keep your eyes open, folks, for any local community radio stations or any opportunities like this. Like, I'm getting involved with this WAPJ. I can't wait for my one-hour show. And, John, I'm going to invite you down to be a guest speaker, and we're going to look for other guest speakers that are versed in common law, natural law, and, you know, they have a lot of great radio stations in Connecticut. You know, in fact, John Rowland, the former governor, who's being indicted now again for the second time in federal court, he was the one that dismantled our sheriffs back in 2000. He was a popular...
Right, all of that, all of that was illegal.
What a crime.
All of it. Even the county, the breaking away of the counties, all illegal. And we'll talk about that soon.
Yes, and I want to make it an election issue this November. I want to really get it out there and let people know ASAP, we've got to restore our sheriffs right away. And we should really be rallying around that even more so than and as much so as they have the gun problems here in Connecticut, because the enemies chose Connecticut as a constitution state to dismantle every one of our Bill of Rights. And in my motion that I just submitted this document to the courts today at the appellate level, oh my gosh, I put how all of my Bill of Rights have been violated. You had mentioned that, you know, in your documents, when they ask for whatever cause of action, every one of my Bill of Rights through these 3.5 years of hell with the criminal charges and then the civil with them trying to steal my home, of 18 years, blood, sweat, and tears here in this house of mine. FHA HUD insured, 15 years in good standing. And the first 3 months, I couldn't pay my mortgage. The first thing they want to do is, and no opportunity to participate in mediation or refinancing anything, any of these home prevention programs. They're all a bunch of garbage. Well, I don't want to get off a track, but listen, John, okay, you clarified that for me. It is okay for us to talk about National Liberty Alliance and common law jury, like
definitely copies. You want to do that, and you can get these people out to look onto the website.
Okay.
The oath takers, they should be out there. And the oath takers, of course, is all the clerks, even the judges. Get them out there. That's
yes.
fine.
Oh,
they
yeah.
need to be looking to see what we're doing, and they need to learn to understand that they are robbing America, that they are destroying America,
yeah.
that what they think that they got going for themselves is not going to be going on very much longer, because look at this. They're taking them down too. They're not going to allow them to continue. They may think whatever they think, but they're not going to allow them to live. When Hitler came in, he got rid of all of those people, all of the judges. He got rid of all of the news reporters, all of those people. He got rid of them all. They were just useful idiots for him to get into power.
The last thing I put in this paperwork to the courts is I claim common law jurisdiction, and we are meant to be free. I stand on the land, not on the sea. I refuse cause without dishonor, and that's the only thing I put in about my common law claim on this.
I wouldn't put too much of that stuff in, but I understand what you're saying.
They make that
an issue, and you get lost in that issue. So be careful with that. But we should be moving on, because we do have a lot of other people. So,
it's scary. Okay,
yeah.
John, listen, take care. God bless everybody. We're saving America, and Godspeed to justice, I say. Thank you, everybody. Good night.
All right, thank you. All right, our next caller is listed in as Proverbs 28:28, and let me read Proverbs 28:28. When the wicked rise, men hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous increase. Lower your radio or something. You got something in the background. Proverbs 28:28. Hello? Proverbs 28:28. You there? Hello? Can you hear? If we don't get to you in the next couple of seconds, we're going to go to the next caller, Proverbs 28:28. Okay, we'll go to the next caller, wireless caller 239-851.
Yes, hi, John. This is Ron.
How you doing?
I'm really good, other than I lost my voice yesterday. Anyway, I'd like to say thank you for all the wonderful work you've done in this grand jury. Constituting of each state needed to be done 15 years ago. And with the gentleman in Illinois who leads the state of Illinois as the coordinator, his saying is true, because I was living in Oak Park, Illinois during the time that there was a grand jury investigation at a federal courthouse of the decent lawyers that indicted Scooter Libby, and they were going on to indict Karl Rove, Cheney, Rumsfeld, and Bush. They indicted Scooter Libby. At that point, the judge that was assisting Judge Fitzgerald, the judge's mother and husband were found dead in Andersonville in the basements, killed, murdered. And this made news. At that point in 2006, the entire makeup of Chicago changed. It was martial law. I saw Chinook helicopters fly in to Grant Park. So these fears are justifiable, and we need to understand
Well, I understand that, and we don't want to build up too much more fears because we're not going to have Illinois doing anything if we continue down that road. But
well,
I do understand.
True.
Look at these are Nazis. You
yes.
know, united we stand, divided we fall, and that's the key. They don't have to file their papers, but if they get all the counties together and they get the leadership going and they start building up their membership and they get educated, you know, the power of the pen, and then when they get the numbers, they're not going to be able to come out after all of them. And remember, you know, the other thing, as I said before, we don't put the name of the jurist on there. They don't know who came together as the grand jury to make the decisions that we make. And look at, you have a person who signs the paper who has a signature that you just can't read. You're not going to print that person's name on that paper. That's not for the people to know who that person is. And it's that simple. Now, who are they going to go out after? They don't have a target. They really don't have a target.
Yeah,
and they got to go look at all the people. They got to try to figure that out too. So look at it. You know, there is some protection here, you know, you'll need a couple of brave people that may be a little bit more out front than the others. You'll need an address. We got an address. It's down in Westchester County, and one of the main people working with us took that on to get that address, and so we have all the mail go there. Just because it's in a person's name doesn't mean that they're on a grand jury. You know, there's none of us are sitting on a constant grand jury because that's illegal itself. There are a group of us that are sitting on the grand jury for a case and will continue to come back, which is the case of getting us into the courthouse. And we'll keep coming back as often as we have to together to make the decisions and whatever other indictments necessary for that. But we're not a sitting grand jury forever. We're not going to decide other cases. We're going to get people to do that, other people. Every jury will be refreshed constantly, grand jury and trial juries.
Well, Bush had something to do with, it was Judge Lukow's husband and mother found in the basement, and I manage the Chicago Public Schools. So I saw, you know, what happened, and it was very strange because there was a lot of attorney friends of mine that were so happy to have this indictment taking place, and it was around 2005.
Well, they made a huge mistake. They made a huge mistake going so big. You know, you can't go that big, but they never thought about doing what we're doing. There's no way. Look, we have a grand jury down in Florida that has indicted the president. Okay, that imposter in the White House. He's been indicted numerous times for numerous things. They're not going to get anywhere, and you know, if they really took them that serious, they're probably, you know, heads would roll down there. But right now, they're not a threat to them, so they're just ignoring them. Certainly, they control the press, especially down Florida. They're not going to write this story. You'll only hear about this on the internet, and when you talk about it, they'll think you're crazy because no one's going to believe that unless they're you know, they know what's going on. But more so today, people are believing now anyway than ever. But nevertheless, it's not in the news. It doesn't make any sense to go after someone that big. You just need to take your own home plate back, so to speak. And once we accomplish the whole nation, then we'll deal with the big cheeses.
Illinois had high hopes because, you know, Illinois and Lincoln, and they really prized their freedom. So they thought it was the anti-war group and the peace people that really thought they were going to change things, and it strangely backfired. And so, you know, obviously going into this public, system that we're in, documenting and covering each other and watching each other is very important, and this is a genius idea that you had to put this system together so we can bring national attention to it. And I've shared your information with many different people, and I am in Florida now. I survived what took place, you know, in, it was called the Military Commissions Act of 2006. It was October 17th, 2006, and that's what Bush put in place to stop all the different things in the proceedings that were going forward to basically end the war and restore the Constitution. And this time, you know, by you creating this system of networking and such, we're really protecting each other. So we're really behind you with New York, and you know, by asking people to come to the proceedings when you go into your grand jury filing is really good. But at the same time, the cancellation of the date is a very big disappointment for me. I was really looking forward. I'm really sad to hear.
Yeah, and this is the second time they've done it, and we're disappointed too. But you know what? Everything happens for a reason. I truly believe that we're doing God's will. We don't know that what the outcome is. You know, God could have an entirely different plan than we're thinking. But
New York has a lot of, you know, you had 9/11, which was a false flag. You had Love Canal. In the meantime, Rudy Giuliani was Attorney General of the state of New York. So you've got long-term endemic problems with the state of New York. I really hope, you know, if New York gets somewhere with this, and I know you're going to get somewhere and move forward, 9/11 has to be investigated, you know. And I'm a member of AE911truth.org.
All those, we shouldn't get into those issues. Issues will come up when the time comes. We really shouldn't be talking. Right now we need to be focusing on what we're doing because we can't get sidetracked. We are going to bring justice back into the courts. And when justice comes back into the courts, it's going to come back to America, period. The people will be as just and as moral as their courts. You know, first of all, our political system will be as just and moral as our courts, and that will stem out to the people, and the people will become just and as moral as our courts. And that's why America has been demoralized. America is heading to hell in a handbasket, and this is a movement, an opportunity for those who realize that we've lost our way to repent and talk to their God in their prayer closets and work things out and step up and do the right thing. And God may then bless us with the liberty that he blessed us with in the beginning. But remember, you know, the enemy was here before the Constitution was even, you know, signed. I mean, they were already working here.
Yes, and I just want to say the peacefulness is important. The approach of complete benevolence and love as you go through this. The Gandhi approach worked. It's very much, you know, what freed India from the British Empire. We have to remember that we have laws. We have powerful laws. Title 18, Section 241, you know, these are powerful laws under color of law. You cannot just arrest somebody. You know, what happened to that guy in Illinois was completely illegal. He had every reason to file his papers. So by him getting on and saying what happened is good because we understand the problems in Illinois. And, of course, Governor Blagojevich, who is now in, I believe, a federal penitentiary in, you know, a cushy one in Colorado, he was governor at that time, and now he's been arrested. So, and then you had Governor Ryan of Illinois, who also was arrested for the stamp fraud prior to him. So Illinois has, you know, a series of corrupt people that have been placed into power.
Right.
And like you said, you know, the head of the Nazi Party of Illinois is in Naperville, Illinois, if people aren't aware, where the headquarters of BP are located, and also Ameritech, okay? And then you have Fermilab just 10 miles away. So it has deep-rooted corruption in Illinois. And you're right, it is the Nazis. And that, you know, stems.
Yeah, it's pretty darn bad. It's either the Marxists or the Nazis. They control it. It all leads us to the same thing. It's all fascism. So
yeah, fascism, corporatism, imperialism.
Yep. Corporatism
all
is
the same.
It.
Absolutely. They're all the same.
That's how they do it. Corporatism is their game. They take everything over by corporations.
The movie The Corporation. The corporation has rights greater than any one individual. They created this over time, and that corporation lives on past. It's an entity that has greater greater rights than any human being, and it can't be prosecuted. But then you can go to the laws, you know, that give the people the rights. So what you're doing, I would really like to just thank you, and you inspire me. And you're right, we can't fear, but I just want to say I understand maybe why Illinois hasn't constituted. I can't understand why it hasn't, but his explanation is such that, you know, they may not have the ability. It might just be so corrupt and so gone that there's nobody left.
Again, they could do what they have to do without registering for a while. They can wait till the time comes for that. But meanwhile, they got to get prepared. So when it's time to go, they file the papers. They're going. They're on their way. They're moving. You know?
It's an important state to constitute because of the crisis.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And Virginia is, I cannot believe Virginia isn't constituted. That was one of the original 13 colonies. That state is extremely important to constitute.
Exactly.
Anyway, well, thank you so much and God bless.
Okay? All right, thank you. Thanks for calling. Okay, we're going to take our next caller, 951. I got to move a little faster because we have some more callers here and, you know, we got, 30, 40 minutes left, so...
Okay.
I want to try to get all the callers in. So, okay, next caller, 95. Thanks for calling. Next caller, 951-313, wireless caller.
Hi, John. My name is Rodney Spooner, and I'm in San Mateo County in California. And we're working on trying to reestablish a common law grand jury here. And we're just in the very first stages. We took your press release, and I had faxed it out to the various county papers, just to see if they would, print it as a press release for free. And I got a response back from one of the papers, and they basically are asking me a question that I need to ask you. I'm not sure if they're talking about holding or not publishing the press release, or if they wanted to actually do a formal article, but they're asking for information about exactly what a common law grand jury is and why one is needed in the county and what power would one have. So,
well, the best thing to do is send them out to the website, tell them to read the front page, read the news articles that we have out there, and then they'll know everything, you know?
Okay, well, I've been on the website and looking at different things that I could direct them to, so
yeah.
I wanted to find
out. The news page is probably one of the most important. And so there's all the latest breaking news. We'll be updating that probably tomorrow. But there's a lot of stuff up there. And the front page will give us a picture of who we are and what we're doing. It shows how lost these people are if they're wondering, why do we need one? I mean, goodness, they have no clue that, they probably don't. They have no clue of the corruption in the courts. They have no idea. People are losing their lives, their families, their children, their everything they worked for. They're being put in jail. It's really horrible, and it's just very bad. It's horrible. So, but that's what I would do. I would send them there. And California, look at, not long ago, California was moving kind of slow. California's got a lot of people involved. You got 100, almost 200 people in the game, and you got only 58 counties, and you've already got 11 of them constituted. It's time now to really buckle down, organize. I talked to a couple of the state coordinators out there, and hope maybe they'll find. I told them to see if they can find another one or two, because you're a big county, you're a big state, you're long, and.
Yeah.
Let's get moving. You got the people. You could do all your counties in a month, literally, if you got everybody going. It's all about making phone calls to all the people that are in. Get them going. Excitement breeds more excitement, and all that excitement will cause more people to look, and you'll grow and grow and grow and grow. That's the way it works.
Well, then we're working on it.
Yep, I know you are. So.
Okay. That was basically the question, and then...
Another thing occurred to me is that I hadn't heard anybody mention, and that is that there's evidently in my research in common law courts, grand juries and so forth, that there's a common law grand jury, I believe in Belgium, that I guess had indicted the last pope. Was that, I forget, that was John, the one that just retired recently.
Right.
So, you know, there's, you know, you talk about, you know, a real big deal. I mean, that's a pretty big deal.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I don't know about those things, and but I hear you. I heard the same stories, so I don't have a comment on that.
Okay, well, I will get off so that others can ask their questions, and thank you very much.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, we'll take our next caller. It is 203-500. Never seen a number like that. 203 looks like Connecticut, maybe. 203-500. Going once. 203-500. Okay, we'll go to the next caller. Let's see. Gina, 732. Go right ahead.
Hello?
Yes, Gina, go right ahead.
Hi, John. Hello, everybody. This is Gina from Monmouth County in New Jersey. And
how
I
you
just
doing?
Want to, you know, just say a few things briefly that, you know, spiritually speaking, you know, we've been chosen to do this, you know, and we got to do this with no fear because the Most High didn't give us the spirit of fear. Evil feeds off of fear, and it will do things to, you know, put doubt in you and, you know, discourage you, but you got to keep going because somebody has to do it.
Right.
And what is that saying that, you know, what when gives... When good people stand by, evil keeps going because nobody's standing up against it. So we have to do this. Somebody has to do it. We have to be those ones.
Well, amen. If anybody wants to fear anybody, fear God. You know, we read this earlier, you know, Ecclesiastes 12:13-14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. This is the end of the book of Ecclesiastes. This is the last chapter and the very last two verses. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And again, Thomas Jefferson clearly understood this when he said, "The God who gave us life gave us liberty. Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed a conviction that these liberties are the gift of God?" You see, we better acknowledge the fact that it comes from God. That's what he's saying. You don't think you're going to get liberty without acknowledging it. It's a gift from God. You know, our founding fathers wrote this right into the Constitution. It said that we had liberty, that liberty was a gift from God. They said it was the blessings of liberty, the purpose of government. One of the jobs of government is to protect the blessings of liberty. You see, liberty has to be blessed to get it. The blessings of liberty, it comes from God. And he went on to say, that is Thomas Jefferson, "I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that his justice cannot sleep forever." In other words, Judgment Day is going to come. And I truly believe we're very close. I don't know when that is, of course. And but clearly, you know, judgment is on its way. And hopefully God is going to judge the evil that have, you know, tried to take over the world ultimately.
That's
but we'll see how that goes.
Exactly. That's why in Scripture when it says we don't battle against flesh and blood, we're battling against spiritual wickedness in high places, and people got to realize that, because if you're doing the right thing, you mind your business, you don't do anything, and then you're caught up in these snares and things, you know that, wait a minute, there's got to be a force that's against what, you know, my righteousness. because I'm not doing anything to cause any of this drama or whatever that's going on in my life or whoever's life. So the thing of it is, right now, we got to do this. We don't have a choice. And we have to trust in the Most High and that He's going to, you know, give us the help we need and the angels we need, you know, because sometimes your help, you can't see your help. They're spiritual beings. I believe that. But we have been chosen physically on this earth to do this, and we got to do it. And, you know, we have to be strong.
Sure, we have to stand up for justice. Justice is synonymous with virtue. I mean, go read Black's Law Dictionary. It's very clear. It is synonymous with virtue. And if you want to find out where virtue comes from, you have to go back to the Bible, because the Bible defines virtue. God is virtue, and we have to be virtuous. It's the qualities of God.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Oh, I just wanted to say, we just have to be strong and just keep on persevering.
Well, amen. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, I guess we'll take our next caller. Thanks, Gina. 623. We're going to have to move along a little bit because we only have a half hour left and we still have some callers left. But 623, you got the mic.
Yeah, this is Bill Davis from Maricopa County in Arizona.
How you doing, Bill?
Oh, pretty good. How are you?
Good, thank you.
You had mentioned earlier in the call about some Supreme Court. You just generally mentioned some Supreme Court rulings regarding the payment of fees and this, you know, into the courts and stuff.
Right.
Do you have those case sites?
Yeah, we may have it up on the website. Let me think. If we do, it would probably be, there's two places you'll find that. I knew we have it, matter of fact. If you go up to courses and essays and you highlight court access courses. Now, we have court case examples. You might find it in there with a file on demand, and you might find it within that file on demand. If you don't find it there, there's the law notes. And if you click on the law notes, you should find it in there. Just go through the headings. You know, there's lots of law notes, but it's written in notepads, and the key point to whatever's in that law note is really the wording. You know, if it's justice, that's what's in those law notes. If it's, court of record or the definition of a court, you know, you have a lot of information, a lot of court cases in there, and also Black's Law Dictionary, definitions and so on. But also in the same area, if you click on Court Access itself, that tab, you'll be able to download a zip file with a lot of stuff, and it'll probably be in there too. But you'll probably find it in the law notes.
Okay. The other thing I had is I'm a little bit concerned about actually getting into the courts because they seem to be, you know, stonewalling us. And I don't know how you're ever going to get somebody to agree to let us in, because they know that it's going to be the end of their little party of, you know, fleecing us. What kind of comments do you have about that?
One of them will break sooner or later, and we'll get in there. And then they'll be they'll really go into deep shock when they see all the people that show up. God willing, we have a lot of people that show up. And this guy here, it is clear. I mean, for this guy to write a paper that he wrote, I mean, we're going to destroy every point he made. We're going to show him where he didn't read the paper. We're going to show him where the answers are to these things that he's saying. And we're going to give him a writ of error. And we're going to go into the courts by suing him. We're going to go after him. And then we'll see what other judge wants to step up and do this. Believe me, they had to find a moron. And I believe they found it in this guy. That's my opinion.
The last week you mentioned something that was going to happen, but you kind of had to keep it under your hat. Is that something you still have to keep under your hat, or?
Yeah, The way things are going to go, yes. If we were going to go Thursday, once Thursday was over, we'd be able to tell you what we'd done. Until then, we don't talk too much about it. Some people already know, they figured it out. People who are learned in the common law and the things we're doing, they kind of figured it out already.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right.
Have a great night.
Thank you. You too. Okay, we'll take our next caller. Let's see. Thomas, 937.
Actually, it's Linda.
Well, I knew that. I was just testing you.
Okay. good to speak with you, John. If someone's already asked this question this evening, feel free to go on to the next caller, because I know you have a lot of people in queue. Our county is getting ready to purchase our seal, and we were just, the person who's buying it was concerned that the wording Montgomery County Common Law Grand Jury, or however it is all in caps, because he doesn't want to be a corporate fiction.
Right.
And I was just wondering, is that going to make any difference?
Absolutely not. No. No,
good,
first of
good,
all, it
good.
Looks real good in caps. It doesn't look good in lowercase, number one. Number two, they don't own the caps, okay, number two. Number three, it's a fiction. We don't play in their sandbox. When I go to court, I do not play in their sandbox. I bring in the common law, and I make it clear I'm one of the people of New York, and in this court of record, I am doing whatever I'm doing. I'm suing, charging, whatever. And then I move forward, and I define a court of record. Clearly is defined by many, many places in the constitutions, in the code, in the Supreme Court rulings, that a court of record proceeds according to common law. There's nothing else for me to talk about. They can talk all the fiction they want. They're not going to say, aha, look, you see, you came in at all caps, we got you. Oh, really, what are you talking about? So they're not going to talk about it. So forget about it. It doesn't mean anything. What we're going to talk about is what jurisdiction we're in.
Okay.
And the fact that he has a duty to speak. He won't speak, and I'm going to let him know that the judge has a duty to speak, so therefore there's fraud in the court going on right now, because I see that this judge is hijacking me. I may not say it that way, of course, but that's what the paperwork is going to say when I file it, and then I sue the judge. So, look, it's the same thing here, what we're doing. We're going into the courts, and we're holding their feet to the fire. And they're going down one at a time, one after one after one after one. And the pressure is building, okay? And we know that their fear, they're frightened when you walk in and they start talking and no words come out of their mouth. Okay, you know that they're frightened. That actually happens.
Wow.
Okay, here in New York. And then we take advantage of that sometimes, and we badger them, and they really trip all over themselves because they're frightened. They know they're criminals, and we represent righteousness. They know what we represent, goodness. We put Psalms, one of the Psalm verses up there, I forget what it is, it talks about justice, okay? And that must frighten them to death to see that.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
Well, that was a great decision on his part then. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Good night.
Good night. Okay, next caller is, a wireless caller, 760.
Hi, John. This is Joe Kelly in
California. Hey, Joe. Good to talk to you.
Good. And it's late, so I want to know whether you want me to hit you with some heavy stuff or some easy stuff.
No, let's keep it light.
Okay.
I am tired. It's been a long day, believe me.
Understood. So the stamp information, it's a file that's on the download for how to start a jury. It's missing in the latest one. Is there like an update that I missed as to whether or not that file's not in the download?
What is that? What's not in the download?
Well, I actually got a call from Gary, and Gary had a call from Ventura County, Charles, and Charles was having trouble with the download from the NLA site that had the information on ordering a stamp and what to
order.
Yeah,
ordering the seal. Yeah, no, the seal is in there. I've checked this numerous times. They're just missing it. Just go through each item in there. You will see the seal in there. And everyone else is getting it. So, you know, and I know I've seen it there numerous times. If you go and click on it, you'll see it'll open up and you'll see the seal in there. There is a seal and how to order it, and it leads you right through the process. Follow the instructions.
Okay, well, actually what I did was, while I was talking to him, as I downloaded the latest and I checked my earliest download, and it wasn't in the latest. It was in my earliest download, and I sent it to him via email. So there's solutions to the problems. And then I just want to get off, and you can go. Proverbs 8, this is, I'm not religious, but there's so much in the Bible that is...
Believe it or not, I am not religious either. But I do have a relationship with my Heavenly Father. It's a total different thing. I perceive it totally different than what most people, you know, people go to church and stuff. I used to go to church and all that stuff. And really, it was until I had a relationship with God that it really started to mean anything to me. But Proverbs 8.
To fear God is to hate evil.
Well, amen to that.
That's it, John. Thanks.
There's nothing more to it. Thank you. Okay, let's see who's next here. We have 845 number. What number is that? 522?
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, John. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. I have a question.
Sheila from Orange County, I think.
Yes, Sheila from Orange.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's
I'm
okay.
Sorry. I'm just kind of excited right now. I came across an article, and first of all, U.S. Chief Justice Roberts, he's a pretty powerful guy, correct?
Yep.
And
he's
what
one
about...
of the anointed up there, but go ahead.
Pardon?
He's one of the anointed up on the hill there. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I ran across an article, and I'll tell you, I take things with a grain of salt, and I'm not a fearmonger or anything like that, but this particular article, and it starts off with rumor, and I'm saying this because I want you to check it out and others to see what, because, you know, like you said, there have been indictments and all that all over the place. But this one, it says rumor with a question mark, but then it says U.S. Chief Justice Roberts signed off on Interpol to arrest and remove Obama on 25 charges of treason. And then it's listing all of, it's even including, like it says, since Obama reneged on his resignation.
Sherrod, you're not...
Because they included Bundy. They included the Bundy Ranch and whatever. I'm you know, like I said, I take it with a grain of salt. But I wanted to ask you if you would check it out. It's before it's news. And, you know, just read the article because it's pretty long. And, I mean, it's listing...
What's the date?
It's just, I just got it. So, like I said, it's on before it's news. I don't know if it's old or not, because sometimes people send me older things. But this one it's dating Easter.
I'll tell you, I don't believe
in
it.
The late.
There's a lot of things out there that are going on that seem good for us, and I think a lot of it is to appease us. I don't believe it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I ran across a lot of disheartening information.
When I see him coming out of the White House doing the perp walk, then I'll believe it. Okay?
Yeah, I think I feel the same way. But still, just check the article out. I mean, only because usually it's not listed. It's like about 25 different charges, and they're really in detail as to, I think, everything that has ever occurred under that administration that has been unconstitutional. So it's kind of different in the way it is. It still could be a lie, or, you know, because a lot of times they play games just to, you know, get your hopes up and then boom, no, nuh-uh, you know. So I'm not putting a lot of, you know, into it. I'm just saying check it out. It's nothing that, you know, won't hurt to read. And see what you think, because I'm just curious, because I see them all the time, and like I said, I really don't even, I don't share them with my family. I mean, it's like, okay, and tomorrow will be something different. But this just really, and I wanted to kind of find out who he was, U.S. Chief Justice Roberts, because they have a picture of him beside it. And
well, Roberts came out, look, at recently, when I say recently, maybe 5 months ago or so, Roberts came out with a decision that people misunderstood. It was really a good decision. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when the justices on the United States Supreme Court comes out with a decision that appears to be bad, quite often it's because they're ruling the jurisdiction that they're talking about. You got to remember, they're ruling the jurisdiction. Now, they got to walk a very, very fine, you know, careful step here. You know, a lot of people say, for instance, Scalia is no good or this or that. Yet, but look what Scalia gave us. You know, hey, look at, he gave us something really good here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a lot of homework with this. So they're under stress and pressure, too, and I know they got the guns to their heads, but they're still doing thing often. A lot of these Supreme Court, United States Supreme Court ruling on a high level, boy, they're really good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I use it all the time. You know, because you know, these rulings are defining the law, the federal law, and the federal law trumps the state law. Whether the state agrees with it or not, read the Supremacy Clause. It's clear. It's clear. And they can deny it all they want, but it doesn't matter. They're just denying reality. There's a lot of great stuff that they've given us, a lot of great ammunition. A lot.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Well, that's it. I just, wanted, because I just really, I'm like, oh, whoa. It really took me, because when you look at the article, it's so in detail. I didn't even know that the White House did all these things. I mean, I know they weren't the best in the world and, you know, all the, you know, with Syria, the whole thing. But these are just totally, it's including the NDAA, it's including the Bundy Ranch, and, I mean, on down. I don't think they missed anything. So I don't know why they would put charges out like that and display them to every single detail. You have to look at the article and see it for yourself. Unless they're just, you know, informing us, hey, this is what we've done so far. Look at the list of it. Maybe that's it, too. You know, I don't know.
Did you send me a copy?
Yeah, I can email it to you.
Yeah,
sure.
Just send me a copy. I'll take a look at it. Appreciate it.
All right. And another thing, it's just not Obama either. I mean, he hasn't been the best, but you know, it was going on long before he got
here. Absolutely. They're all criminals.
So,
Bush, Clinton, them all of them. The last great president, in my opinion, I don't know if there was anyone before him or, you know, back as far as him, and that's Kennedy.
Kennedy.
You know, Kennedy gave his life for the cause. He really knew, what's going on, man.
Yeah, he lost his life behind just standing up and saying, hey, I mean, you guys, you might not know what's going on, but I do, and I'm trying to protect you. And
absolutely.
He just never got a chance. Well, he did, because he put an executive order in.
Well, he said a lot of stuff, and the press never really brought it out. You know,
yeah.
He just never. Listen to this. This is President Kennedy. President Kennedy said, listen to this. Listen to what he said. I can't believe this.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he said. He said, a revolution is coming, a revolution which will be peaceful if we are wise enough, compassionate if we care enough, successful if we are fortunate enough. But a revolution which is coming, whether we will it or not, we can affect its character, we cannot alter its inevitability. Okay? And then he went on to say, you know, those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolutions inevitable. Okay, that's pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah, very.
You know, and, you know, we got his, 20-minute speech, Kennedy in the press, which laid out, and he talked about, guerrillas at night instead of armies by day. And he spoke about, the problems, and that we had a problem in our country, and it needed to be revealed. The enemy is amongst us. You know, he laid it right out.
Yeah, he did. Yes, he did. But, you know, hey, he's still, we have videos we can look back on. We hear his speeches. That's one thing I say about all of them that have been assassinated. They really didn't kill them because they still live. They live right now through their words. I listen at Kennedy often, and I feel better just I can see him. I can hear his words, and that will never die. I mean, you can kill a person, but you can't kill an idea. And that idea and that dream is amongst many people, and we all share it. So, I mean, where are you going to go eventually? Because everyone loves self-preservation. You know, like whether you're making a fool of me or not, whether I need this paycheck or not, right now, yeah, but in my inner gut, when you look at your child or you look, you know, at your wife or your husband and you say, hey, we want to live. We have the right to be here. We have a right to occupy this space. If I wasn't meant to be here, Almighty God wouldn't have brought me here. And it's not up to you to decide when I'm to leave or where I can stay or when I can't stay, or you just don't want to share this glorious, beautiful world with me. So that's just my outlook on it. And, but you go on and you pray. And we just, like you said, we got to keep doing. We have to learn, you know. And I've been on that website. I'm sure many people have, because you guys have offered something that no one has ever done before, and that is to educate. And I mean, when you're done with that website, if you don't know something, then you're just slow anyway. But I mean, not
well,
to
I
say
tell you,
anything
one of,
about
one of my favorites right now is Trial by Jury. I'm on the second time around on that, and I want to tell you, the first time around, there was some blanks in there, you know, but I want to tell you, second time around, wow, let me tell you, anybody who hasn't done Trial by Jury, you got to do Trial by Jury. Mm. It's all audio. Just stick it in and listen.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. It's fantastic. It lays it out the way it really is. And when you finish with that tape, especially if you go through it two times, when you finish with that, you're going to understand the jury, the grand jury, the authority, the powers, where it came from, how it is, and how right it is. It makes it so clear that it is the only way or possible way that mankind can go forward. The only way. There is none other.
Absolutely. And you guys are, you're doing it the right way. You're doing it the correct way. I mean, like, you know how to answer this, like you, with the writ of prohibition, you know. And I mean, like, you know the channels that you need to go through, and they know it too, but they don't have a offense. Because it's not real.
They have nothing. You're absolutely right. And we're going to lambaste this guy. Yep.
Yeah, so God bless, you know, this whole project, and God's all through it. And we just have to trust and believe and work. I mean, it's not going to be easy. I mean, that I'm on American history because that was my assignment. And if you know it, it's very long.
Mm-hmm.
It's
well, yeah, I was wondering, you know I made an announcement last week that we want to ask questions and do the straight out answers. But I do realize that's kind of difficult because now we have to have someone to correct it if we don't have multiple choice. So maybe we should move to multiple choice. And look, it's not that important for people to retain it. What's important is for people to actually read it or listen to it and understand it.
Right.
I have learned a long time ago by the grace of God, because believe me, I did terrible in school. I was a dropout. I didn't even finish. I went through eighth grade. That's it. Ninth grade, I dropped out. I didn't even do it. But by the grace of God, some years after that, I realized and learned that all I have to do is understand something. I don't have to memorize it. In school, I was trying to remember everything. I was trying to memorize everything. It doesn't work that way. No, understand it, appreciate it, and just put it into your skull. And let me tell you, all of a sudden, it just starts falling out of your mouth, you know?
Yeah.
It's just the way it is.
Right, right. And I that's how I picked up a lot.
So I'm thinking maybe we should do multiple choices. Because this way, when people go through the course, they'll get it immediately corrected. And if they have a couple of errors, they'll get the answers. They'll have to go look for the answers to the errors. And I think if they get three right, they go forward to the next section. If they get only two right, then they have to get the other three right. And they have the opportunity to skim through it and listen and listen and listen. Ah, there's the answer to one. And then listen to, and get another one. And that's fine. That's not cheating or anything.
Yeah. No.
That's really looking and learning.
Yeah, I agree. That'll be good.
True and false is no good, though. Talk with everyone else. Talk to Marilyn and everyone else on this thing and work that out to do. And remember, some tapes are like an hour long. You do 10 questions. You know, maybe it's an hour and a half or something like that. So you do 10 questions. But most everything is five.
Right. I gotcha. Okay, John. Well, I'll let someone else get in. And thanks so much for your time and everything you're doing. And God bless.
Thank you. You too. All right, next caller. We only got a few more callers left, but we are short on time. We only got about 4 or 5 minutes. So, Anonymous, you're next. You got a couple of minutes. We got to move on. We got two other people.
John?
Yes.
You can hear me.
I can hear you.
Okay. This is Patricia in New Jersey.
How you doing, Patricia?
Okay. I originally hit the question button because I wanted to ask you about the quo warranto.
Right.
In New Jersey, there's late 1700s statute that says that the quo warranto should be filed with the clerk of the Supreme Court.
Okay.
And, I looked it up presently, and it says the Attorney General presently. Now, and while I was waiting to talk, I was doing some research in Google Scholar, and it seems that now they're calling the quo warranto an information in the nature of a quo warranto, and apparently that's statutory. That's not common law when they use that term. But my question is, do you know if New York has such statutes for where to file?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Let me ask you a question. Do you know why common law doesn't have statutes of limitation?
Statutes of limitations?
Yeah, do you know why common law doesn't have statutes of limitation? And the answer is in the question.
No, I don't know why.
Well, the answer is in the questions because common law doesn't care about statutes.
Right.
That's why. And they can say anything they want. If you go to the quo warranto, it's an extraordinary writ comes from the king's bench. And the king's bench is either the grand jury or the trial jury. There is none other. And they come from those people, and it goes where? Onto the court. You bypass all things.
Well, what
you see,
court?
Well, onto the court that's trying to the lower court or your court.
Yeah, but you're dealing with the fox guarding the hen house.
Well, that's true. They are hijacking the court, so it goes into the court, which is our court, the court of record, and it applies also to the, if they try to hijack it, it applies to them too. This is what this guy had done, and he's going to get the wrath of the common law grand jury upon him now, because we're going to lambaste every single thing he said in his paper. We're going to lay it out to him clear to show him that he didn't do his homework. And we're going to do this in what's called a writ of error. And then we're going to fine him 100 ounces of silver. And then I don't want to say, we already predetermined in our group, and we'll confirm it tomorrow, that an indictment is in play for him. And then he will be brought in. We'll then file papers on him, and we'll turn this number into a court case against him. We'll talk about that next week.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there's one other thing. Today, Jason sent out an email, and it made me wake up to something. He basically was saying, without consent, there is no government. Now, I don't know if you didn't seem to be following the Bundy standoff. What is it called?
No, I got bits and pieces anyway, of it, and I just don't have the time to follow.
I saw an actual video of what really happened, and basically what they did was they surrounded the gate where the BLM had put up, and they approached the gate, and the gate was held with, I believe, plastic and a sign in front of it.
Right.
I don't know what the sign
said. Saw the same video. Someone took the sign off, they pulled the plastic off, opened the gate.
What hit me was, if they had not taken that sign down, they would have been giving consent to the BLM, so they had to take that sign down and open those gates. And that makes me wonder, with the people in New York or every state, do they really have to stand down or go stare them down in the face, and go in mass to the court and demand the room?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to do that. I mean, we thought about going up anyway on Thursday, and we threw a bunch of scenarios on what would happen and what's going on and so on and so forth. And look, we really need all the people to come out the day we're going to the court. So we didn't lose. We're going to fix things and we're going to set it up and we're going to put the pressure onto into the court clerk. They had a rogue judge. Let's go on to the next guy, and we'll see where that goes. We've got other things we may do, but right now that's the focus. Meanwhile, we will be going up to assist, Robert Schultz up there in Albany County at 1:30 on the same day. We must do that. Anybody who can possibly make it to that, it's the appellate court. We'll post it up. We'll post that information up on the meetup group, and we'll post it up on the calendar, and we will send an email out tomorrow for a reminder for Thursday for Robert Schultz's case. It's an extremely important case because he is fighting these people to prevent elected people from sitting and also lawyers from coming on to sit on the constitutional
convention.
Convention, okay? And we know clearly we can't have any elected people, even people retired from election. We can't have anybody that's ever been elected
to sit
on
it. But attorneys that can't be there, really.
We cannot have attorneys on it either. They must not be on it. It's got to be the people. And this is what Robert Schultz's case is about. We need to be there to back him up. As a matter of fact, if you are from New York and you're coming in and you're listed on the grand jury, you should write down your name and put on that you're coming in from the grand jury. You know, that's what I'm going to do.
Oh, you mean for Robert Schultz?
Right. When you go into the appellate court, you have to sign in the book. So you sign your name and put down that you're with the grand jury.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I got to move on. We're just about out of time, and we do have two more callers. I want to give them a couple of minutes.
Okay.
So. Thank you.
Godspeed.
You too. Thank you. Okay, Turner. 703.
How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm okay. Just got some of your problems. I don't know if you heard of Carl with a K, Lenz. They stole his children, and after 6 years, he learned the law and his common law, and he got them back. And he's been traveling all over to, like, British Columbia. He's been in UK as well, which is England. And he won cases there. So I'm just going to put it out there. You can go to talkshoe.com, and his ID number is 127469. Or you can go to, it's a uncommon, UNKOMMON.org. You can tell him Aquila sent you from Brooklyn. You know, I'm originally from Brooklyn. I live here now in Virginia. And I'm with you, you know. I just, common law is the way to go, and it's a way to do it as far as getting your papers filed in the courts.
How do you spell Carl's last name?
L-E-N-T-Z, like Zeta.
Okay. Yeah, I think I heard of him before. And the number is 127469 on TalkShoe?
Correct. And you, if you get on his show, it's on every Saturday. I believe it starts at about 5 or 6. And you can just call in and, you know, tell him Aprila sent you and what you're doing. And anybody can go there and call in and okay. talk. And
yeah, I'll definitely go and listen to some of his stuff. And maybe I'll go on his program this Saturday or next Saturday.
Yeah, you can also look him up on YouTube.
Right, I will do that. Yeah, I think I heard of this guy. I think I've seen some stuff of his. It's a very familiar sounding.
And get your case as quick and fast out. That's what I believe. And, you know, so I'm going to be using him in some issues I have as well. So
right.
I just wanted to put that out there. You let him know. Aquila from Brooklyn. There you go.
I got it. And I got your name written, Aquila, A-Q-U-I-L-A, I believe.
Oh, yes. You're one of the ones that actually is like the Bible, of course.
Well, I'm cheating because it's in on your caller ID.
Oh,
don't tell them. Don't tell
okay,
them.
Okay, can you also announce your phone number again, then I'll talk to you.
Oh, yeah. 845.
Wait a minute, excuse me?
845-233-6560.
6560. And
correct.
Your name again?
John.
Just John, you don't. Okay.
Well, John Durash, but John's good.
John is fine, and I'm Aquila,
yeah.
of course.
Hey, Aquila.
Let me let the other quarter, because I know it's really late. Let the other quarter speak. All right, I'll mute myself out and continue to listen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. All right, last caller, so I can go to sleep, is Sarah again. I think it's the same Sarah.
Thank you. I just wanted to, again, reiterate how important it is that we realize that we're more than physical beings. We're spiritual
right.
beings.
Right.
We're children of God. And we have to realize that what we do is greater as a collective, a greater collective sum for the coming generations. It's not just fixing our generation, but this is setting the pace for the future that everyone that comes after us won't have to deal with what we're dealing. We're in it now. We know what we're doing. We just have to persevere, not fear, and realize what kind of mission this is, that this is greater than our physical, you know, day-to-day
well,
life.
That's right. Our founding fathers were very concerned about their posterity. And we are their posterity. And we need to be concerned about our posterity, our children. Okay?
Amen.
And it is selfish of us if we don't come to that realization. You know, this is a thought that people must bring to the forefront of their mind and ponder about and realize the importance. You know, I think I am, therefore I am. You know, that in itself, to realize your being, to realize that, look, there is no doubt that there is a spiritual being within you, that life, and you look out into this universe, it's like, you know, come to the realization of the fact that you are a spiritual being. Amen.
Exactly. I have one other request. I think it would help set the pace in that Declaration of Independence, that when people's issues are not being remedied, that it's upon we the people to create that system and that government
and
that will remedy
it. Sure.
So if we open every Monday night meeting, it's just a couple of, it's not even a minute to read that sentence, I think it would reiterate our mission and our focus so that we stay focused. Because if we keep our eye on the ball and stay focused, we're not going to be distracted by sideline issues and other day-to-day issues. We're going to stay on point and get her done.
Amen. All right. Yeah, I will. I'm going to make a note of that to lead on the next time with that part of the Declaration of Independence.
Thank you.
And
gratitude.
Huh?
Much gratitude, because I think that will infuse a lot of strength in each of us every time we hear it. I have it written down and sitting on my bookshelf right next
right.
to
yeah,
my
Yeah, I recall it myself. It is powerful. It really gets you thinking, and it's an inspiration. And so definitely, Yeah, I will look at that. Appreciate it.
Thank you. God.
Okay. I'm sorry, I missed the last then.
God bless everybody.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, you broke up a little bit. Okay, Godspeed. Thank you very much. Okay, with that, we've ended our evening. I appreciate everyone coming. Lord willing, we'll be here back next Monday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Please get the word out to everyone in your counties and in your state that's involved with us. They should be coming to this Monday night meeting. It is important that we get together. Even if you don't stay the whole 3 hours, a lot of people do leave. But people come in kind of late sometimes, so we get a good number of people coming into the room. And I'm sure most people go back and listen to the parts that they missed because we have the recording that we post. So we'll be posting this recording tomorrow. Okay, thanks for calling, and thanks for coming into the meeting tonight. Good night, and we'll see you next Monday. Goodbye.